Ladies and gentlemen, it's Thursday, March 12th, 2020. I am your host, Alex Jones. There is now no longer any doubt that the coronavirus is a man-made bioweapon launched to bring down the United States of America by the Chi-Coms and the deep state globalists. And I can tell you that I have talked to individuals that are inside the White House and inside the governor's office here in Texas, and that is what they believe is going on. That's why President Trump has classified all the White House discussions about the coronavirus. And I think the president's response so far has been dead on. He just finished speaking a few minutes ago, started 15 minutes ago, from the Oval Office taking questions on coronavirus. Here's some of what the president had to say.
When you cancel an NBA season, you're losing all of the revenue for the teams, the vendors. I mean, it's that way all through the entire economy.
Yeah, it has an obvious effect. The only thing worse can be that you lose thousands and thousands of people more than you would have lost if you did it the way we're doing it. So it certainly has an impact. And again, we're very much working with the states because, you know, the states are a smaller form of government. They can control.
I want to speak with you about our nation's unprecedented response to the coronavirus outbreak that started in China and is now spreading throughout the world. Today, the World Health Organization officially announced that this is a global pandemic. We have been in frequent contact with our allies, and we are marshaling the full power of the federal government and the private sector to protect the American people. This is the most aggressive and comprehensive effort to confront a foreign virus in modern history. I am confident that by counting and continuing to take these tough measures, we will significantly reduce the threat to our citizens, and we will ultimately and expeditiously defeat this virus. From the beginning of time, nations and people have faced unforeseen challenges, including large-scale and very dangerous health threats. This is the way it always was and always will be. It only matters how you respond, and we are responding with great speed and professionalism. Our team is the best anywhere in the world. At the very start of the outbreak, we instituted sweeping travel restrictions on China and put in place the first federally mandated quarantine in over 50 years. We declared a public health emergency and issued the highest level of travel warning on other countries as the virus spread its horrible infection. And taking early, intense action, we have seen dramatically fewer cases of the virus in the United States than are now present in Europe. The European Union failed to take the same precautions and restrict travel from China and other hotspots. As a result, a large number of new clusters in the United States were seeded by travelers from Europe. After consulting with our top government health professionals, I have decided to take several strong but necessary actions to protect the health and well-being of all Americans. To keep new cases from entering our shores, we will be suspending all travel from Europe to the United States for the next 30 days. The new rules will go into effect Friday at midnight. These restrictions will be adjusted subject to conditions on the ground. There will be exemptions for Americans who have undergone appropriate screenings, and these prohibitions will not only apply to the tremendous amount of trade and cargo, but various other things as we get approval. Anything coming from Europe to the United States is what we are discussing. These restrictions will also not apply to the United Kingdom. At the same time, we are monitoring the situation in China and the South Korea. And as their situation improves, we will reevaluate the restrictions and warnings.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
live, ladies and gentlemen, on this Thursday, March 12th, 2020 transmission with 235 days out from the historic election. Well, we knew the globalists would be striking back, and indeed they have done just that. There can be no doubt that the coronavirus is a man-made bioweapon. The entire global media, the big banks, all of our enemies have been hyping it to bring down the United States and are now doing everything they can to exacerbate just all-out, total lemming-like hysteria taking place. Now, there's a paradox in all of that. We predicted it was going to cause all-out world panic. We predicted it was going to cause the shutdown of civilization for several months as a giant globalist martial law drill over the nation state that would then finally target the United States economy and President Trump's reelection. So we were right to say it's incredibly dangerous. This is a big deal. And yes, the virus clearly does kill people. But if you see the deep state preparation all over the world and the U.S. ahead of this, you can see the coordination, the choreography, the scripting that's taking place telling us that this is a 21st century attack. And a lot of people are seeing that. They're saying that. And I've talked to high-level White House sources, and I've talked to sources in the Texas government at the highest levels that believe this is a deep state operation allied with communist China or elements of communist China that was meant to basically be a giant lockdown drill over the public. And again, that the left could then exacerbate and target and point at President Trump and at America. Let me tell you who's coming up today. Mike Adams, who's certainly been vindicated on saying this was going to cause a shutdown of society, he's going to be on the bottom of the hour. We're going to have Dr. Steve Pachinik on to give us his perspective and his take. Milo Yiannopoulos is going to be in studio with us as well. And Joel Skousen is going to be popping on of World of First Brief. So a lot of different expert takes and angles, but there's no longer any doubt that this is a big deal, that this is not a drill, and President Trump has really changed the trajectory of the viral spread by stopping flights from Europe, where it's really broken out very badly, and where he knows there's more deadly strains of it. Now, I was locked and loaded, and I'm not complaining. Hours of focus with just totally ready to come on air and lay out their entire master plan. It's crystallized for me last night and this morning. I'm sure of it. I've done massive research. And then the president starts getting ready to speak again. And I say, well, let me just start the show with that. And then, of course, the computer freezes up. And that's just the way it works. And then I get angry and my train of thought gets lost. But I'm rebuilding it back up. I've got all the lines converging and the data and the way I want to lay it out. But I'm going to go to rebroadcast for a while to cool down. It's not the crew's fault. It's not anybody's fault. Stuff's happening live. So I can get laser focused again and come back in here and get on the racing blocks before I lay all this out. So I'm going to do the best job I can to just calm down. And then I'm going to come back and lay this out because I'm not just up here babbling. I'm not just up here saying things that I think sound interesting. I really have studied the entire system. And I know how it works, and I've gone and studied the virus, and I've had top bioweapons experts on and top medical doctors on and the lawyer that wrote the U.S. Bioweapons Convention that became world law, and we know what we're talking about here. And so you could tune in to David Knight and hear what he's saying and think we're disagreeing, or you could tune in to Gerald Celente this morning and think, well, Alex disagrees with him, or you could tune in to Owen Schroyer and think, well, Owen Schroyer is saying something different than Alex Jones or Mike Adams or Steve Pachinik, and that's not really what's happening. That's not what's happening. We're covering different aspects of a very sophisticated psyop mind control operation that at its heart has a real virus that is mutating and is killing people. But people then say, well, it must be hype. The hype's so obvious. Yes, they're fanning the flames. They're pushing it to create the most amount of hysteria. So do you have a wooden response, as the British have? And as Trump was trying to have to not create panic while trying to fix things behind the scenes, or do you get ahead of it and say, oh, it's really bad, and then kind of jump on the bandwagon of the police state clampdown so that the left can't then turn around and blame the nationalists and Trump. It's a very, very serious problem that needs very, very serious thought. And let me put it to you this way. The providence of the virus, the genealogy of the virus, where it came from, who made it and why, is the way to stop the deep state weaponizing the fear that this weapon has created. And it's going back to the beginning, back to who launched the attack, back to who fanned the flames, who's been rubbing their hands together, who's been saying they openly want to crash the U.S. economy. The Democrats have been running around like weasels on a large dose of PCP, just assaulting the nation, assaulting the confidence, assaulting the president, while squeaking and squawking that, oh, he's not doing anything. And then when he says, okay, no Chinese flights 4 weeks ago, oh, that xenophobic, racist is evil, and everybody else has already done it. Or when he says, okay, no flights from Europe unless you're vetted. And then they go, oh, my God, it's horrible. No, we want it open. The Democrats have introduced a bill to stop that because they think logic doesn't exist. In fact, they've said everywhere, CNN, MSNBC, how dare the president come out and say that this is a foreign virus. Well, he knows they're blaming him. He knows the public doesn't have an attention span anymore. And so President Trump rightfully is like, this is a Chinese communist virus. Came from over there, but we're dealing with it. This is something humans have always had to deal with. So let's not panic, but we're going to have a strong response. I think the president's doing an excellent job. I wasn't mad that he tried to play it down. I knew it was a desperate gamble 4 weeks ago. He knew they were targeting the economy, the main generators. That was their target, is the economy. And I knew he was going to lose because the whole media and the whole system was about to engage in this. Very good chance that Tom Hanks is a total globalist, hates the president, said he would never be president, is just saying he's sick with it as part of a false positive, you know, PR deal to overshadow the president's speech last night. And because you look at who's pushing it, big tech, the globalists, the Chi-Coms, the EU, now the communists run Italy, the virtue signaling NBA. They want the crisis to implode the economy. They've said they want to get rid of the president by a bad economy. Now they're saying they hope it does drive him out by killing the economy. They're open villains that think we're all idiots. All right, I'm going to go to break and I'm going to come back. I don't need to go to rebroadcast. I just need to get laser focused and just go into the main point I'm going to make when we come back. And that's where it came from, who's behind it, what the plan is, and the really bad news. And I'm going to give you the bad news when we come back. I figured it out. And we could walk through all the background and the viruses and the strains and who's behind it. But this is going to make AIDS and HIV down the road look like a very mild problem. And they have just introduced to you their depopulation program. And so most of you won't even get sick or die from this. But the next decade, if we don't stop them, most of you will die from this. So there's the little news flash that I thought I would just go ahead and give you. Next year's news today, next decade's news today. We'll go to break and come right back. Oh, just two big announcements here. Living Defense, that takes care of those little nasty unwanted visitors, that's so popular that it has the 100% reviews, been sold out for 4.5-5 months. It's back in stock, 20% off or 25% off. Infowarsstore.com. Boy, does that boost your immunity. And it's been sold out for over a month. 16-ounce Super Silver arrived yesterday with the patented Nano Silver. You can squishle squash with it or spit it out, or you can drink it. It's all there. Highest quality. 16 ounces of above colloidal silver quality from the top company in the U.S. that we private label. Back in stock also, 20% off. So it's back.
Aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
On July 25th, 2001, I went on my television show and on my radio show And I specifically said they're going to blow up the World Trade Center in the next few months and blame it on Osama bin Laden, their CIA asset. They will use that then to take American freedoms and launch giant wars that will actually be used to destabilize the Middle East towards a larger global conflict between Islam and Christianity in the future. And out of that global conflict will come a world government. Now, people ask how I was able to do that. And their only answer is, you must be a government agent and somebody told him this. The government is just a large conglomerate of individuals, agencies, and groups, some good, some bad. I did not get that information from any person. I was younger. My brain was better. I did not have as much knowledge at that point, but I saw thousands of integrated points and pre-programming before the fact. And with that much data, it's called a police hunch. People ask, well, how's that detective so good? How does he know how to, even though the serial killer only kills every few months, track them and come up with mathematical equations and maps and then finally be there in the right zone and catch him trying to kidnap a woman on the very night? There's been lots of cases of that. And you'll talk to those famous detectives and they'll just finally just say, I don't know how I do it. And that's why detectives will go out, the FBI does it too, and they'll get psychics that aren't the con artist ones that have 1-800 numbers and, you know, are on TV, they'll tell you your fortune, but people that have been known, and they'll tell the police, I don't know how I know all this. I just know. And it's the same thing. You've got all this real data, and then your conscious brain is 100 times, maybe more, less powerful. So the big brain, the whole brain knows because it's got all the data points, but your conscious mind is a narrow focal point of that. And it's unable to understand why it knows it. It just knows it. There's just all this data coming in and you know it. I'm getting chills right now. Now, I attempted last night and this morning to get together a bunch of documents and articles to lay out how I know all this, because this isn't like what I did with 9/11, where it was next level, where it was providence, where it was, you know, the evidence was there, but, you know, how could you extrapolate that to make a call that was so dead on? It was just the spirit. It was absolutely not just my brain. It was God. This is 1% or less as powerful as what I did in 2001, 2 months before, on record. Anybody could type in Alex Jones predicts 9/11 2 months before. That's just a short clip that's online. We fought to ever find that same show from the radio. I did like 2-3 hours laying it all out that day with precision. A few clips of that have been found, but not the whole thing. That was a July 25th, 26th. That was when I was doing that. I said, call the White House, tell them we know the deep state's going to blow up the World Trade Centers. They're going to blow. I mean, I called the White House live on air and said, I've seen the evidence. They're going to blow it up. I mean, this is not a joke. I had the FBI call me the morning after Vegas, and they said, hey, hostage rescue team individual through another individual that's worked with the CIA. And again, I don't work with the CIA. I'm my own independent person, but obviously there's a lot of people that have been in the CIA and you know, other things that know me and then contact me. And it's like, well, how did you say they're probably going to attack a music venue or a rock concert at, say, 10 o'clock at night? I said that at like 5:50 on the Sunday show, and the FBI paid attention, and I said, same way I called 9/11. They went, okay, yeah, we don't think you're involved, but man, we want to know, do you want to come work for us? I mean, how the hell do you do this? I don't know. I just get in this place where I just start going off the data, and I just start talking about things, and then I'll just say, this is it. Well, that's that ether level that I don't know how I do it, okay? This thing with the virus is not that. Ooh, I'm getting chills right now. This is all the evidence. So this isn't a hunch. This is absolutely documented and proven. And enrages me that it's so obvious and that we can't stop these people. So I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to shut up and I'm going to let Mike Adams come on and have his say because I respect him. And then we've got Joel Skousen is at 12:30, correct? So I'll have a couple segments before that. And then Dr. Steve Pachinik and then Maya Loganopoulos in studio. I'm doing all 4 hours a day. And I just might let Mike host those two segments because here's the problem. I can sit there and give you the data points of how I know this stuff, and then that takes a long time, and it also is very frustrating. And then I never get to just the big enchilada, what I'm telling you is going on. But I think all of you already instinctively know this is the big one. And if we fail this test, we're going to be ruled by the threat of unending invisible bio weapons that the globalists are going to be releasing to take full control of society. And we've known that's their mode of control for a long time. And the globalists have bragged and all these different publications they're going to use the threat of mass pathogens and death to control. We know all that. It's obvious. But if we don't get that narrative out on a mass scale, we're screwed. And I'll tell you, the only person I see as a world leader that is not going along with this and that has fought it and who has saw through it is Trump. And believe me, Trump knows exactly what's going on. And he's fighting the deep state on one side and the Chi-Coms that are linked up with it on the other side. And they released this on purpose to clamp down on their own people, to end the Taiwan embarrassment, and then to try to topple our economy. That's all admitted. The Democrats brag about that. That in and of itself is so huge. But then you look at the virus. Pretty simple statement, huh? Why aren't we talking about where this thing came from when it's known to be man-made? And what it's mutated into, as I said 6 weeks ago. And that there's different strains. Why is it killing 5% in Italy and only maybe 0.5% here in the U.S.? And now they admit there's a bunch of different strains. And then you look at where it keeps popping up. It's where they had big military drills. So this virus is a chimera because it mutates into different chimeras. And there's been a bunch of different versions of it released. And the globalists are testing right now our response to see if they can lock us down. And then if we lock down properly, then they're going to release the real bio version that'll then start wiping out even more. So this is a test for the global depopulation operation. It's 2020, and they're gearing up to exterminate you and your family. It came out of Wuhan.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, the globalists want us off air. Later next hour, I'll show you a photo that was sent to me by one of my friends. His dad is on a cruise ship off the coast of South Africa. And in the little daily newspapers they hand out to every member of the visiting folks, the tourists, the cruisers, their shipmates, they have an article about Alex Jones arrested for DWI. There it is. Why would that be on a cruise ship out of South Africa? Well, Dr. Pachinik's talked about this. It is a State Department operation since the end of World War II. Where certain communiques can be put out through a system that is then published via Operation Mockingbird, is what it's called, in every newspaper in the world that's affiliated with it and every broadcast system. That's why every TV station, every radio station, every network, every newspaper that is part of these affiliate systems since the 40s just takes what is given to them and put out. Of course, I blew under the legal limit. But now they have a thing where they test you at the jail, so I had to be taken to jail. It's ridiculous. Two beers would do that to you. I'm not ashamed of that. Whatever. I've told people I drink sometimes. It's about how I'm being targeted and why I'm being targeted. Here's another example. I've talked about on air the fact that hospitals have nano silver and colloidal silver. And you go to the CVS now, and they've got a whole section of silver. Everybody knows silver goes after viruses and goes after bacteria. And then we sell different high-quality silver products by American nanotech that has gone out and has their stuff sold over the counter that we then private label. And then the media thinks everybody's ignorant, goes, oh, Jones claims he can cure the coronavirus. No, I never said that. I never said if you had the virus replicating in you that this would fix it. I said I personally gargle with it. It knocks it out on contact, and that's a good front line of defense, and everyone knows that. But so does elderberry. I don't sell elderberry, but I've told folks it's a good antiviral. Everybody knows that. Why wouldn't you tell people, hey, vitamin C is good for you? Hey, vitamin D, what's in fish oil? But Big Pharma does not want people to, because they're telling you, oh, there's no vaccine. And so you're like, well, I better do something else to bolster my immune system just for general health in life. So guess what? It just so happened to come back in yesterday. It's been sold out for a month. We have the 16-ounce, the 1-ounce, and the 3.4-ounce bottles, a limited supply, back in stock, 20% off, InfoWarsStore.com. Super Blue Silver Immune Gargle. Oh, and by the way, New York Post and Huffington Post, everyone's syndicating that I'm up here putting out a fraud. This is the same stuff we put out before them that Walmart private labels and that Walmart sells on their store shelves, except ours has iodine in it and theirs doesn't. And by the way, we sell ours for less. So it's like I'm selling toothpaste and saying it's good for your teeth. That's supposedly bad that we have the toothpaste with the same nano silver in it with a tooth whitening toothpaste? I mean, I've been selling this toothpaste for 6 months. I've been selling the other toothpaste that has colloidal silver, iodine, and tea tree for, what, 4 years? But they're like, oh, no, he just came fly by night. Really, before this whole thing popped up, I showed you this. And we're going to go to Mike Adams. Before this ever popped up, we got our lawyers on it right now, sending out cease and desist letters to the New York Post and all the rest of them, because they're misrepresenting what I've said. And, oh, Dr. McKim, shot, please. This is Dr. Keith Moeller, American Biotech Labs. And then we've got their letters here from 13 years ago, Texas A&M University Systems Health Science Center, U.S. Department of Homeland Security, and what they found with their nano silver taking out the SARS family, the corona family. I don't know if it does this current one, but that's kind of, it's asking like, is pesticides kill cockroaches? Department of the Army Headquarters, United States Special Operations Command, and their findings with the, that's CENTCOM right there, 13 years ago. So, you know, the FDA says you're not supposed to say you need oxygen to live. My First Amendment, I'm going to say it. Or literally they say, you may not say that you need water to live. And then they always ask like, oh, they're saying that Jones has stuff not FDA approved. The FDA doesn't make rulings on what they call supplements. They only have a jurisdiction when they can claim you're saying you're a drug. And I'm not saying when I eat an orange, it's good for me and it keeps me from getting scurvy. That's a sign of it fact. As a citizen, I have a right to say that. So we say, eat your oranges, eat your orange peels, get your elderberry. I personally take colloidal silver. I take the types that are authorized to be ingested, and it's done a great job for me, and everybody out there knows that as well. And so this is just more of the attack, Alex Jones. More shut him down because they don't want you to hear people like Mike Adams on this broadcast. Mike Adams, who's been dead on with the fact that this was going to be a huge catastrophe. They were going to shut down civilization, whether the virus is super deadly or not. This is huge. This is absolutely huge. This is seismic, and they don't want us on air. They want us arrested for using our free speech. Well, America isn't going to buy it, and people aren't going to put up with it. Mike, I'll hold you a little bit in the next hour, and then I'm going to give my big take on this. I mean, we pretty much figured out what it is and what's going on, but I think Trump's changed his trajectory now with his announcement last night, a pretty big deal. So thanks for joining us, Mike Adams, NaturalNews.com.
Well, absolutely. Trump has made a huge decision in the right direction. He's taken a leadership role on this right now. I think Trump just saved his presidency, frankly. I was very concerned that he wasn't going to take this with the aggressiveness that he needed to, but he did. And he did that last night. He changed the trajectory. We fed the new numbers into our pandemic projection model. And based on Trump's decision to block flights from Europe, as well as governors and mayors across America blocking public events, we now believe there is a 30% social distancing suppression factor, which takes our number of projected deaths by July 4th in America down substantially from what was 1.1 million now to 283,000. So, in other words, Trump and other government officials who are canceling public events, they just saved 800,000 American lives, okay? That's the kind of future that we're dealing with here. And if they get more aggressive in the coming weeks, which they will, mark my words, then the number of deaths can be even more reduced. We might be able to limit this to just a few thousand deaths by this summer if they get more and more aggressive, but, you know, we'll have to see. I think Dr. Fauci is correct. It depends on how we respond to this virus. We could end up with millions of Americans dead if we did nothing, or we could end up with only a few thousand dead if we get very aggressive with social distancing. But on your comments on silver and copper, I just want to mention new research out there that talks about how long the coronavirus survives on surfaces shows that on copper surfaces, it's killed in hours, whereas the virus survives for many days, up to 9 days on other surfaces such as cardboard or plastic or others. And silver is known to kill the viability of viruses and kill bacteria even more aggressively than copper. So my estimation, as an elemental scientist, I run a science lab, we deal with elements all the time, we run microbiology as well, that silver would probably kill this virus on surfaces more quickly than copper. So anyone saying that silver doesn't work against the coronavirus is out of their minds or just illiterate. When it comes to real science.
My uncle and my cousin and my dad's uncle were all from the same ranch, all got the same respiratory thing 6 years ago and all died from Christmas into New Year's. They all died within about 3 weeks of each other. I was in Palestine at the big hospital and they had silver spray bottles and stuff everywhere. We're like, it's all that works now. And they're just, and the nurses are just lathering themselves and spraying silver everywhere. They go, the iodine isn't working anymore and this isn't working. We just use this and it's working. I mean, everybody knows that. It's like a scientific.
Yeah. Well, studies have shown that hospitals could drastically reduce the number of superbug infections in hospitals if they just had copper doorknobs and copper surfaces throughout the hospital. So, yeah, copper and silver kill bacteria, and they denature viruses as well very, very quickly. That's widely known and documented across the medical community.
Well, regardless of how deadly it is, the panic's here. Tom Hanks supposedly has it. They've canceled the NBA. Trump's canceled planes from Europe. What's Trump going to shut down next? We know that's coming. Stay with us.
Over 20 years ago, Alex Jones created the media platform called InfoWars. And in the decades since, it's grown into a truly remarkable institution with over 200 radio affiliates, tens of millions of unique website visitors monthly, and a 24/7 live news TV channel broadcasting from state-of-the-art studios in Austin, Texas. InfoWars has become the most trusted independent news source in the country, dedicated to delivering breaking news, live coverage of special events, and exclusive reports you won't find anywhere else. While the old guard media struggles to maintain supremacy in a landscape brought by innovation and technology, InfoWars has been at the forefront of the information revolution. From 8 million radio listeners, over 2 million YouTube subscribers, or the billions of views of our online content, InfoWars proves dominant in every facet of media we enter. For the hardest-hitting reports, uncompromising analysis, for high-profile interviews and bombshell revelations, accept no substitutes. Demand truth. Demand InfoWars. InfoWars. Tomorrow's news, today.
And that's why they want us shut down, ladies and gentlemen. And that's a promo from like 2 years ago. They're all over the news saying people that sell storable food are bad. People that have it are bad. If you're a prepper, you're bad. But I have a whole stack of articles I'm going to get to next hour where the billionaires, most of them, have run to underground bunkers with private airfields and their own private security forces. That's all okay. But if we say, hey, look at all these studies about nano silver and colloidal silver and how the military uses it and how hospitals use it and how it's sold at the store. When we say that, we're bad because there's one thing that's going to save you. And that's vaccines. But they don't even have a vaccine for. And this thing's mutating just like the flu. So when you take a vaccine for this one, it doesn't cover it for that one. And it's all a giant hoax. And they don't want us here. They don't want you here. They don't want you to hear Dr. Joel or Dr. Steve Pachinik coming on. They don't want you to hear World Affairs Brief editor in chief, Joel Skousen. They don't want you to hear any of these guys. They don't want you to hear Mike Adams here. They tell you there's no hope, there's nothing but staying where you are. And then if you try to boost your immune system, you're a bad guy. Absolutely insane and just totally crazy. Mike Adams, continue with your projections of what's going to happen, of what's going to unfold. As you said, you think Trump saved his presidency by not letting them demonize him and say he hadn't done enough. But notice the Democrats have come out incredibly and said that it's his fault now and that he should keep the borders open and let the flights continue to come in. So the Democrats can't have it both ways, can they?
No, they want the president to be weak. Now look, something very important is happening right now today. Not only is the Capitol building now closed and evacuated because a Senate staffer tested positive for the coronavirus. So now we're starting to look at, can our government function in the middle of this epidemic? But also, Drudge has this headline, the CDC only tested 77 patients during the entire week. 77 patients. That's criminally negligent. South Korea tested tens of thousands of people this week. Italy tested thousands of people. The U.S. government tested 77 people. That's absolutely unacceptable. Trump needs to clean house there. But even bigger, Sacramento County has announced they're dropping all quarantines. They're no longer going to try to contain this. They're just releasing all high-risk patients right out to the public. I've got a story on this right now up on my website just a few minutes ago. I've called for Trump to declare a national emergency and literally dispatch the military to take over Sacramento County in order to reestablish basic medical principles of the modern era. Sacramento County is trying to spread this. They're deliberately wanting to bring down Trump by spreading the disease and spreading the infections. It is a criminal sabotage act on the part of Sacramento County. They can't be that stupid. They can't be that ignorant. It's not complacency, it is sabotage. So you have the CDC trying to sabotage Trump, Sacramento County, again, an anti-Trump bunch of left-wing lunatics.
By the way, Mike, let me just interrupt you, and then yeah. I want you to host another segment or two if you can, just yourself, so you can have the floor. But let me ask this question. When you sit there and you say they're sabotaging, you're not joking. They're openly rooting for it to hurt people. They're hoping it brings down the economy and the president. They're hoping it kills the recovery. When China was shooting people at checkpoints and closing borders and countries were banning flights from there, it was wonderful. We banned flights. It's the worst thing ever. Then Trump's not doing enough. He bans flights from Europe where it's running rampant. And now he's the bad guy. They have a bill in federal court saying they're going to block it. But then it's his fault not doing enough.
Well, Trump needs to declare a national emergency and then just take the actions that are necessary and ignore the courts that are trying to block these necessary actions. These Obama-appointed federal judges need to be just
well,
put
I
in
totally
their place.
Agree with you, but there's a Hollywood, big tech, they're all concerted effort doing this. I mean, clearly, this is the move against America. This is it.
Absolutely. And they've set a trap for Trump, as we've talked about for over a month.
Oh, it's uncanny how you and I and others laid out exactly what would happen, what yep. they would do next, just knowing their mentality and that it's man-made.
Well, and if you want to know what's coming next, Trump will have to ban certain domestic flight paths. So flights out of Seattle will probably be banned. I expect the Seattle airport will be quarantined and shut down very, very soon, perhaps within a week. And then that will happen in Northern California, Boston, Massachusetts, and New York City as well in subsequent weeks. That's a very likely type of behavior. I do expect Trump to increase the military deployment on the southern border in order to block illegals who are carrying infections into sanctuary cities especially. But there's another big factor in all this, Alex, and this is a question. Do mosquitoes carry this bloodborne disease? In other words, in the summer in America, will mosquitoes spread this like mosquitoes spread malaria? Mosquitoes currently spread 200-plus diseases that are bloodborne. When mosquitoes bite you, they actually suck some of your blood, and then they inject a little bit of that blood into the other person. That's how malaria spreads. Now, malaria is not a virus, of course, but viruses are present in blood and much smaller than bacteria. So Can mosquitoes spread this? We don't know the answer to that yet, but if they do spread it, then our world is in trouble. And by the way, it's not going away just when the summer comes, because Australia is in hot weather right now, and in Australia, this is spreading like mad. So hot weather doesn't shut this thing down. That's crucial for us to understand. We're going to have to deal with this all summer, probably for years to come.
And by the way, we've been told by the media going back 6 weeks, don't try to block Chinese. Don't be racist. Well, I mean, it doesn't matter whether they're Chinese or Russian or from Africa or wherever. If the disease is a place and it's that group, what did Italy have? A bunch of Chinese workers in Milan and other areas that were doing all the fancy shoes and all the clothing and others. That's admitted, a huge imported Chinese worker population. Same thing that we see in the mines and in a bunch of other things where China owns most of the mines in Australia and has all sorts of facilities there and is built like its own enclaves. Well, that's where you see the hotspots. So clearly, China incubated this and then deployed it worldwide.
Well, absolutely, and they're not done. This is just the first wave. So you hinted at this earlier. This is a softening up phase for America. There is a much more virulent strain that will be released. And I believe that Italy has just experienced a natural mutation that's made it more deadly there. America doesn't probably have that mutation yet, but it may happen on its own, or we're going to get hit with a second wave of this. So this is nowhere near over. China's hoping that America collapses in terms of its infrastructure, its hospitals, and its stock market, and also executive power, i.e. the president. And once that happens, China will unleash even more attacks, possibly in a worst-case scenario, an actual invasion of America via California. That's a scenario that we have to take as realistic, although it's pretty far down the road. Things have to get very bad before they would even attempt that. So it's good news that Trump has started to take a leadership position on this, and he's getting a handle on this, and he's starting to move in the right direction. And that's exactly what we need to see happen. By cracking down on the social sharing of the virus, Trump is defeating the deep state and defeating the leftists and saving his presidency and allowing elections to take place.
I agree. Mike, the only way I'm going to let you talk is if I let you host the next two segments. If you got to go, I understand. But how about you just come in and host the first segment and then part of the next and introduce
it.
Just get other points you want. And I'm going to be here listening. And then I'm going to get into what I projected is really going on. And now I agree with you. This is as bad as it's going to get. And then it's an opening salvo of a larger rollout. It really all crystallized for me doing deep research last night, this morning, and talking to you. And I think you just picked up where I was going without me even telling you. I think you're starting to concur with me as we brainstorm here that this is a opening salvo in something much larger.
Absolutely it is. There's no question. And it depends on how Trump responds to this, of the readiness of America for dealing with the second
wave. This is
a
probe. This is a test. Talk about that when you come back.
Yes.
Everybody. They're trying to shut us down. You see it everywhere, the demonization, the attacks, the lies, the propaganda. You can't believe any of it. Almost all of it's pure bull. That's why they're attacking me, because they don't want people, when they hear the show, to believe us. They go, oh, that guy's this or that guy's that. Or all of it is deception, ladies and gentlemen. We're here telling the truth. Infowars.com, Newswars.com, Band.video. That's where the truth and the real research is all posted. So tell people. You want to know the truth about coronavirus? Band.video, Infowars.com, NaturalNews.com is doing a great job. And get great supplements at InfowarsStore.com, back in stock.
News today.
All right, we are continuing here. Let me give you a quick breakdown of really what's happening in Sacramento County, especially to try to spread this virus across America as a way to politically hurt Trump. So if you can bring up that story, it's a press release from Sacramento County from March 9th. And in that press release, the county says that in their shift from containment to mitigation, they're no longer going to have any quarantines, and they're no longer even testing people who are in high-risk groups. So what we have here now, even though the county admits that there are only 10 confirmed infections in the entire county, what we actually have is a deliberate surrender to the virus on purpose in order to allow it to spread in California. Now, if you are listening to this and you live in Sacramento County, you should call your officials in that county. You should demand their arrest or demand they reverse this. I'm calling for Trump to deploy the military to take control of Sacramento County. And as we heard with Stuart Rhodes yesterday, the military's role in this should be to protect public health, set up hospital triage units for the surge of cases that's coming, especially in places like Central and Northern California. So we're not talking about military enforcing quarantines at gunpoint and locking people in their homes. We're talking about the military supporting testing, which is necessary, and then helping maintain quarantines of high-risk individuals for a reasonable amount of time to make sure that this does not spread. That is how South Korea successfully has shut this thing down. It's how Taiwan shut it down. It's how Singapore shut it down. And the reason you have over, 12,000 infections in Italy and the hospitals overrun almost to the point of total collapse, the collapse of Italy is now threatened. Why? Because they acted too late. They did not do the early things that Singapore did and South Korea did and Taiwan did, and even Hong Kong, by the way. And when you have a county in California, Sacramento County, deliberately engaging in criminal sabotage to spread this virus across America, then it is absolutely time for President Trump to declare a national emergency, send the military into Sacramento County, seize control of the public health department there, arrest the officials, march them out, prosecute them, put them in jail, and reestablish basic modern medical common sense. That's exactly what I'm calling for. You can quote me on that. It has to be done. You cannot allow these radical left-wing anti-Trump lunatics in California to sacrifice the health of their own citizens in their effort to spread the panic and spread the disease and try to create an economic collapse. And it's long past time. Anybody still saying this is just the flu, you don't know what you're talking about. Trump has got to get serious. He's already started to do that. He now needs to declare a national emergency, and he needs to make it very clear. Any counties that are going to try to sabotage the nation are going to be seized by the military. That is what must be done in America right now. Now, fortunately, here in Texas, we have a governor who understands all of this. Our governor in Texas will work to protect the people. And there are governors, even Democrat governors, such as Governor Inslee in Washington State, who also can do the math. He seems to understand exactly what's happening. He's prepared to issue a statewide lockdown in Washington State, it sounds like, very soon. I'm predicting a closure of the Seattle airport in the not-too-distant future and possibly some quarantine lockdown measures involving Seattle and surrounding areas in Washington State. The more we achieve what's called social distancing suppression factors, the fewer deaths we will have this summer, and the more successful our national healthcare system will be in responding to this. You have to control the number of infections and deaths, reduce that number to a manageable level, because if the hospitals get overrun, then the mortality rate skyrockets to 10 to 15%, especially among the elderly. So that's a wrap-up of where we are right now in America. I know a lot of great guests are coming up next on the show. I'm going to be, I believe, hosting for the next couple of minutes. So stay with us. We'll be back with more updates as this unfolds, this vicious disease that Trump is now trying to beat while saving his presidency and saving our nation. Stay with us. So by now, of course, you know that Tom Hanks and his wife were reportedly diagnosed with coronavirus and are currently in isolation in a hospital in Australia. Now, of course, there's some conjecture that maybe Tom Hanks, some say, might be faking it in order to spread panic or fear about the virus. Personally, I don't think that Tom Hanks would lie about this thing, this epidemic. My belief is that because Tom Hanks, you know, he shakes a lot of hands. He's a very visible figure. He was working on a movie set reportedly in Australia, and Australia has an uncontained outbreak situation happening there. So Tom Hanks is actually the kind of person with the kind of social interaction that would be exposed to this, just like, frankly, President Trump is as well, and members of Congress who are running for office. And we've seen members of the government in Iran die because of this virus, and large numbers of people all over the world, health officials in Europe have been diagnosed with the virus. So I don't think, I mean, My guess is Tom Hanks isn't making it up, but it's possible. I admit it's possible. My guess is that he's really got it, but he will beat it because he'll get, of course, very good health care. Tom Hanks, maybe he's aware of antiviral nutraceuticals. He's probably demanding intravenous vitamin C therapy right now. That's what I would be doing. If I were diagnosed, I would immediately call up some of my friends in alternative medicine and say, look, hit me with 50,000 milligrams of vitamin C, and that would be a great treatment, you know, and it would probably have a very good effect. In fact, China is now running multiple clinical trials looking at the effects of vitamin C intravenously in order to stop this virus and actually treat it. So it's going to be interesting to watch how that goes. Now, understand that intravenous vitamin C treatment is very different from oral consumption. Orally, it's very hard to get even 20,000 milligrams without experiencing, you know, typically loose stools or something like that. Your digestive tract can't handle that much. But intravenously, some doctors or alternative naturopaths will give you 50,000 milligrams, which is 50 grams, or even 75 grams, or in some cases, even 100 grams. So my guess is if you combine that, and this is a very important message that I think Trump needs to get out there, you know, there are things that people can do right now that involve vitamin C and vitamin D3. I mean, Gary Haven yesterday mentioned magnesium and zinc as well. You know, Alex mentioned elderberry. There are many things that can be done right now. You could change your diet. You could save your life. You could start eating healthier and maybe stop the spread from someone else. You know, a lot of the strategies here, it's about breaking the cycle of the exponential spread. So there are really only two ways to do that right now. Number one is social distancing. You stay home, you stop going to social events. Secondly is antiviral, nutraceuticals, vitamins, minerals, supplements, things that work, herbs that work. And there are lots of those out there in the marketplace. And I've just mentioned some of them. There are many more being studied as well. And, you know, this, nobody really has to be in even a 2% risk for this. I believe you could get your personal risk down to 0.1%, which is about the same as the seasonal flu, just by relying on nutraceuticals. Now, we can't prove it yet. We don't have the scientific data yet because it's so early in this. But then again, there's no vaccine. There's no pharmaceutical. So what's the harm in boosting your immune function, right? What's the harm in taking vitamin C? There's no harm at all. There's no downside to it. It's safe. It's affordable. It's effective. It boosts immune function in many ways that can help protect you against many, many things. And typically, many of these supplements reduce inflammation. So when we look at the mechanisms of coronavirus and how it increases inflammation dramatically, especially in lung tissue, actually scarring lung tissue, then you need to look at what you're eating and what you're taking. Are you eating a highly pro-inflammatory diet of fried foods and junk foods and soda and smoking cigarettes or things like that? All of those things can become very serious, even deadly risk factors if you are subjected to this infection. So if you ever needed an excuse, you know, to clean up your diet and eat healthier and turn to nutraceuticals as a good frontline defense mechanism, boost your immune function, this is a good time to do it. And I find it fascinating that people on the left, they normally want to promote natural health and natural medicine, but now suddenly when the coronavirus is out there, they say, oh, it's bad to talk about boosting immune function. It's bad to be healthy. It's bad to be buying hand sanitizer. They're insane. And by the way, wasn't the mainstream media telling us this whole time before all this, oh, everybody should buy more stuff. Buy more stuff. It's good for the economy. Remember President Bush was like, buy more stuff to help the economy. So we're always told to buy more stuff. But then suddenly when there's a virus, it's like, stop buying stuff. What? Where does that come from? I thought you told us to buy more stuff. Now it's not. Don't buy stuff. Don't buy masks. Don't buy food. Don't buy hand sanitizer. Are you kidding me? So I guess the advice is you're supposed to buy more stuff, but only when you're not panicked. If you have fear, it's not okay to buy stuff. But if you don't have fear, it's perfectly great to buy stuff. Well, then what about all the pharmaceutical advertising? Because that's all fear-based. You know, they say, oh, you're going to die from cancer in 6 months unless you take this chemotherapy. You know, the oncologist tells you. That's fear-based decision-making at the cancer clinic. Media never attacks that, do they? Even though chemotherapy, the number one side effect, is more cancer. By the way, chemotherapy kills more people than cancer. So if you didn't know that, you know, do your research, because chemotherapy is more deadly than cancer. But they don't say that. They don't admit that. They say people died from the cancer. when they really died from the chemotherapy.
All right, Mike Adams, you have done a great job. I'm glad you hosted a few segments so I wouldn't be interrupting here. I expect the president to start restricting more foreign flights, and I expect some announcements on the northern and southern border, particularly the southern. It's the most porous. When do you think he's going to make some of those announcements?
Well, I would think that within the next 10 days, for sure, he'll start getting real serious about domestic flight restrictions, about the border, because it's a very politically charged issue. I don't know when that will happen, but it needs to happen now. And Trump needs to deploy the military and just ignore the critics on that. Just do it. Deploy the military, protect the border, stop the infections from walking in.
Mike, great job. Naturalnews.com. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And I already mentioned this, but I'm going to go over this again. Trump bans travel from Europe for 30 days. Really, he just called for more intensive screening. Democrats want to reverse Trump's travel bans despite coronavirus spread, and then they call that racist. You cannot make it up. Coronavirus travel ban, Eurocrat complains Europe is Trump's scapegoat, slams nationalism. Unbelievable. Those articles are up on Infowars.com. Jim Acosta complains Trump's xenophobia for calling Corona-19 a foreign virus. AOC says people aren't going to Chinese restaurants due to racism around the coronavirus. Really, I was in a Japanese restaurant the other night. So this is the type of garbage that's going on. Meanwhile, coronavirus is 10 times more lethal than the seasonal flu, Trump Task Force immunologist says. But notice the lethality keeps going down. I'm still saying it's a serious virus. You don't want it. It's man-made and it's mutating. And I haven't gotten to my big prime projection on all this. But I'm going to do that when we come back in the next segment ahead of Joel Skousen. Separately, I'm very, very proud of the Super Silver Immune Gargle that we've had out for over 3 years. It is a bestseller, and it was sold out in the 16-ounce, the 3.4-ounce, and the 1-ounce spray bottle. And I use it personally for topical. I use it in my throat as well, and I also ingest it. It is designed for that. It has nano silver at 15 parts per million so that it is ingestible. I would still consult your physician and be safe with any of this because it does, on record, take out many viruses and bacteria. And I've got all the studies right here and the facts of that. Mainstream media tries to act like we're just making that up. And, ooh, some other groups got in trouble for their claims. Drinking bleach saying it cures all disease. I didn't say that. I think that's BS. I'm saying topically, or if it makes contact with a virus, silver's documented. And the studies are so legion, it'll make your head spin. And it's back in stock at 20% off at InfoWarsStore.com. You can also call toll-free 888-253-3139. And then, Living Defense sold out for almost 5 months. The people love, you've heard the rave reviews of what it's done for them, what it's done for their families, what it's done to their overall gut flora and health. You like probiotics? This is next level. Living Defense sold out for months and months now, back in stock, discounted as well, and your purchase funds the InfoWar. While you see them all over the news saying, arrest me, get me, I'm a criminal, shut him down. They can't stand we're on air. They want to be able to carry out what they're about to do without us on air. They don't want you to have a voice. They want to take your voice. But standing together, they're not going to get away with that.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. You're listening to Alex Jones.
The entire Western world is starting to shut down as authorities brace for millions of coronavirus cases in the U.S. alone. It's an amazing time to be alive. Yes, the globalists are making their move against America, against Trump. Yes, Hollywood and big tech and the NBA are all canceling events to create the biggest amount of hysteria they can to then try to hurt the economy. The question is still open, how deadly is this virus? Well, here's what we know. And we've chronicled this with the author of the U.S. Biological Weapons Law that became world law and scientists and researchers ad nauseum with the actual research papers out of India and other major prestigious universities around the world, that the coronavirus is a ridiculously man-made virus a chimera with a bunch of different families of viruses spliced together with an HIV delivery system welded onto it as well. Not HIV, but the HIV virus delivery system. And it's a tiny virus. It's very, very sophisticated, and it is killing people. But from day one, the communist China lockdown, people being boarded up in their houses, the checkpoints, people being shot in the head, the media praised it. And day one, 6 weeks ago, corporate media praised China, but when Trump talked about stopping flights, and we said, yeah, that's a great idea, they went, oh, my God, it's so xenophobic. Then a week later, South Korea, Japan, Russia, all these other stopped flights. When Trump did it a week later, they freaked out in the media and said it was pure evil. So did China. So did the UN. The UN's response, shooting people at checkpoints, was good. Trump saying we're going to stop flights from China when everybody else had, bad. And that's when you see the agenda. Man-made virus, so they can release it. They've already tested it in the lab. They know. Hell, in China, they even got human prisoners. They know how it's going to be replicated on human test subjects, not just rats and pigs and bats that also can get it. And so you pull back from it and you watch all the different ways it's connected. It's clear. There are already first two, then four, now 10 different strains. Some strains are more deadly than others. It's mutating very quickly. And it's a chimera, so that it's got a whole family of families connected together so that it's very hard to track where it came from. You have the original virus bought in 2015 from North Carolina University that Obama allowed the transfer of. That was a big national controversy. And then once they had that chimera, they were able to get a functioning chimera. Very hard to build a virus like that that could then be modified further. And so now we know what's happening. It's spreading quickly. They're using it to paralyze the economy. They're creating hysteria-like fear. This is the globalist plan, to teach us to live under lockdown, to teach us that there's this invisible enemy, even worse than terrorists, that we've got to give our rights up and take the forced inoculations and do what they say. Shut down the Taiwanese protests. Shut down the Chinese that were revolting. Change the subject from the Chinese trade war they lost. It's clear. They're now telling us it's going to mutate for years. And, oh, don't worry, a few years from now when it's really bad, we'll have a vaccine. But it'll always be a new mutation. So when you pull back from this, it's clear. This is the year 2020. And the UN and the Bilderberg Group and the Davos Group always said, we will use bio-weapon events and plagues to bring in world government and have control. And that's how you make countries coordinate with each other. That's how you create international bodies that control it, who will then be your saviors and will also be your jailers while they take control of your life. And then this virus is a chimera, so there's so many variants of it. Others can be slipped out whenever they want that are designed to target certain groups. And so one gets released here that targets a group, another gets released there, but they've tested them in the laboratory knowing they'll only kill for so long and then mutate into a harmless or less lethal version, so that it just muddies the waters of the providence or the fingerprints, the signature of the virus, so that now there's a whole new family of chimeras out there that the globalists can experiment on us with, the lethality, the spreadability, but also they can then even create race-specific weapons down now to an individual person and use this as the ultimate assassination weapon, where you can release this in a general area knowing it's going to take out a particular person or group of people. It'll then mutate into a harmless form, and you've got the ultimate nanotech weapon, because that's what a designer virus is at the microscopic level, spliced together with others, programmed, and then pre-tested how it's going to mutate. You have the ultimate 21st century weapon that'll create the fear, the hysteria, and have people begging and pleading, do whatever it takes, just protect me from a virus that probably kills 0.5%. Still worse than the flu. Notice it was 15%, they thought, and then it was 5%, and then now it was 2%, and Now, the White House is saying it's 10 times stronger than the flu. So maybe 1%. But regardless, it's still big because it's the main globalist thrust. And that's what I wanted to just get out here today, that the system doesn't want you to be prepared. They don't want you to be healthy. They don't want you to be ready. They don't want you to be informed. And they don't want you to question the way to take this down. It's a man-made virus that came out. You can just type that in. Major universities say it's a man-made virus. And they show the evidence in big papers how it was done and how it was spliced in. And then the UN criticized them, so they withdrew it, but not for reasons. They said under pressure. And then another university came out and said the same thing. Mainline journals are saying looks like it's man-made. And now there's headlines in Politico, the New York Times, oh, the conspiracy theorists in Russia and China and Brazil and Mexico, they're all saying it's man-made. And then their scientists come out and go, yeah, we looked at it under an electron microscope, and you can see, because it's so small, they haven't learned how to slice stuff together that small where it isn't obvious. I mean, a pizza's been cut up. You see the pieces. You see the pieces. And it's all, it's a blob that's all been slapped together. It's the microscopic level. It doesn't just come together sweetly. It's a big slap together, you know, thing that was then miniaturized so it could be airborne, so it could get into your lungs, every part of it made so that it would spread, so that everybody would end up learning they'd been infected with it. So the hysteria will reach fever pitch once the test kits get out. And that's why Trump says, oh, it's no problem, no big deal. And then, oh, we'll put the test kits out. And then they don't put the test kits out because the White House knows. An earlier non-lethal version was put out. A later, more lethal version was put out. And then some super versions that they know retrograde and break down and mutate into harmless were put out to create high death rates in small pockets as the test. You can put it all together and integrate the information with tens of thousands of other data points, but that's it. It's artificial. It's the deep state working with the Chi-Coms to launch this, to bring in global government and tyranny and embarrass Trump. And Bill Gates, of course, ran tabletops 3 months ago saying it was all coming. Now he has test kits going out and is the savior of us all sitting on top of it. And he wants this broadcast shut down and finances national TV shows against InfoWars. Joel Skousen is, again, one of the smartest people I know. That's why we have him on the broadcast a lot. He's a former Marine Corps officer, naval aviator, Vietnam era, and one of the top experts on the globalist and their larger plan. And I'm your host, Alex Jones, if you just tuned in. People always ask why I say my name at the start of a segment. Radio stations go off ratings, and so do TV stations. You've got to say who you are, the name of the show. Coming in. I don't want to just Alex Jones. That's how people though know what show they're tuned into. He is the editor-in-chief of worldaffairsbrief.com. I'm with InfoWars.com and NewsWars.com. And you notice I'm being super demonized right now everywhere. They claim that I'm selling toothpaste that I say will cure you of the coronavirus. Never said that. We have a company that makes it out of Colorado that has certified that it takes out viruses in general and in that same family of corona, not this corona, but it's the same deal. I sell the toothpaste as a tooth whitening toothpaste with nano silver. So it's all over the news, hoping I get arrested or something. It's just absolutely crazy that that goes on. The immune gargle, the same nano silver that's so good for your body, so good for your mouth, it's back in stock. We also have the Living Defense that's so popular after almost 5 months sold out. That's back in stock, and that's how you fund the operation. These are great products. They're demonizing people that have storable foods and even saying that's bad. So I'm going to stop right there, but I want to just have Joel Skousen take over this segment and the next. I mean, I'll be here. I'll take him in and out of the breaks because I want him to be able to really flow with what he thinks is most important and what he thinks is coming next. He's thought this is quite serious as well, just like Mike Adams. Obviously, they're using it to implode the economy, but they've shown themselves now saying China did good shooting people at checkpoints and welding them into homes, and Russia did good, and South Korea blocking flights. But when Trump did, he was bad later. And now saying, oh, they have a bill introduced, the Democrats do, and federal judges say they're preparing to block Trump stopping unchecked flights. And all this means you have to have a medical checkup first from Europe. So I think they've really revealed themselves. But instead of me taking Joel Skousen of worldaffairsbrief.com, editor-in-chief there, down my roads, let's let him host the next two segments. Joel, thanks for being here, and please give us your expertise on this.
Well, thank you, Alex. It's good to be with you again. Let me compare. And my assessment of the coronavirus is actually that it's less serious than what is being hyped in terms of its actual health effects on people. Let me give you some understanding. Of course, the bigger effects are going to be the economic effects from shutting down the economy and shutting down public venues during this period. But compared to the common flu, 8% of Americans get the flu each year, with perhaps on average about 60% of those of Americans are exposed to it. 11,000 people have already died this year from the common flu. The death rate, of course, is difficult to tell because a lot of flu cases go unreported, but the CDC estimates around 2%. The Chinese death rate from the coronavirus, if you can believe their statistics, is around 2.3%. So not a lot of difference in death rates. But there is a great deal of difference in the infection rate of the coronavirus versus the common flu. Probably 80% of people exposed to coronavirus were going to get symptoms, 80% instead of just 8% of Americans with the common flu. And that's because this is a weaponized virus. And so it's meant to be able to transfer more rapidly to people. But despite that, few people die from it. Fatality rate will climb to 15% for the elderly and those in bad health, but less than 1% for the rest of us. And that's really important to understand in terms of your ability to resist this virus, is to make sure that you get on a healthy regimen. And I mean, you shouldn't be overweight. You shouldn't be eating any junk food. You've got to be eating a lot of natural and organic food. And then you've got to be using some of the really good herbal and products, the kinds that Alex sells, for example. NanoSilver products are very, very good at killing all of these types of coronaviruses. Now, you can't point to any medical, you know, studies to prove these type of things, but there's a lot of real serious anecdotal evidence that does support that. Additional evidence proves that megadoses of vitamin C kills the viruses. I have personal experience with this. When I start to get a cold, I can down 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C every 2 hours, and that cold will be gone within the day, gone. And you can, even if you've got a full-blown cold, I can suppress the symptoms with 1,000 milligrams every 2 hours. And so, you know, vitamin C is a very powerful antiviral suppressant. And then, of course, there's this famous fire cider recipe, which is available. You can always find that on the internet. But it's basically a combination of ground up garlic, horseradish, ginger root, cayenne pepper, and extracted with an apple cider vinegar mix. And you strain out the solids after a couple of weeks of sitting in this solution. And take a few tablespoons of that, and it's very, very powerful against these viruses of all types. And remember, the common cold is a coronavirus like the COVID-19. But probably 80% of people exposed to the coronavirus will get symptoms. But it's interesting that most people have, especially healthy people, have mild symptoms, and especially children. It's really only the elderly people 60 and above, and especially those who have compromised health things, are going to get sick. So a lot of this depends on how much exposure you get. For example, the doctor in China who tried to warn the Chinese government, got arrested for it, was kept in solitary confinement. He got a massive dose of exposure to it. And that's why he is a fairly young person and healthy, died from it because of the massive exposure. You're not going to get that kind of massive exposure unless you get into a forced quarantine situation with the coronavirus and people who are infected. That's why it was bad policy for the Japanese and United States government to quarantine the Diamond Princess in Japan and not let people off the ship. Unlike early assurances, COVID-19 is capable of airborne transmission. They've told us for weeks now that you have to actually contact, or it's sneezing or water droplets with the virus that get on the surface to make this contagious. Absolutely false. Princeton University has come out now with a study, which I'll be linking to in Friday's World Affairs Brief, about the fact that it is airborne, like the common cold, and it can last in the air up to 3 hours. And so if you get stuck in a forced quarantine, stuck on an airplane with people you can contact and get infected with coronavirus because of it is an airborne virus. So it's more contagious than the flu, but not particularly lethal for healthy people. It is airborne, and you can actually, survive very well. And I think most people will get better from the coronavirus unless they have compromised health. A lot of the deaths, for example, in Washington State, which exceeded, I guess, 14 or 15, came from people in old folks' home who were visited by people who were infected by coronavirus and died from it. So avoid forced quarantine with a large public. It's okay, and those are what they should have done with the Diamond Princess, allowed people to go home with wearing gloves, with wearing a mask so that they don't infect other people, get into a self-quarantine. Even hospitals in Washington State now are sending people home rather than putting them in the hospital where they circulate the air with other patients, and you run the risk, as it happens in most.
Exactly. So they use these cruise ships and things to incubate the virus.
That's right. And that's what happens with, you know, a hotel in the Virgin Islands that ends up getting quarantined and locked down. People are going to get sick by being stuck in the same air circulation system with other sick people.
All right. Stay right there. They're not idiots. China, all these groups know that was going to only spread this faster. Clearly, they're using it as a political weapon. They admit they're using it. The Democrats have been very badly disciplined. They've admitted they hope this brings down Trump in America. I think Trump's been forced to say he's taking stronger action so he doesn't get blamed with what's happening. But what does that do to the stock market? And who does Joel Skousen think's behind this? Because, I mean, there's a bunch of universities and groups now that looked at this virus and said, look, this is man-made. Did it escape out of a lab? More and more, I think, deep state released it, you know, even above China, to cause this global chain reaction to then be a global financial reset or more. Joel Skousen gives us his expert take straight ahead. I'm Alex Jones.
From Austin, Texas, it's Alex Jones.
And this is Joel Skousen, editor of World Affairs Brief, sitting in for Alex for this segment, the next 10 minutes or so. We're talking about the coronavirus and its impact on the United States. I've discussed in the previous segment how I feel that coronavirus is not that deadly of a virus. The death rate in the United States is probably going to hover around 1 to 2%, which is actually pretty low and in line with the common flu. Those that are most at risk, of course, are those with the compromised immune system, elderly people, and especially if it gets into a pneumonia-like symptoms where the coronavirus starts to damage the cells of the lungs and starts to fill up with water. Those are the people that die. So it's important that if you start to get symptoms from the flu, that you get on the recommended herbal and natural remedies, such as many that Alex Jones sells on his program, as well as Fire Cider, megadoses of vitamin C, vitamin D3. And it's also a good idea to use an ozonator, air purifier in the home. Ozone kills pathogens in the air and is very, very effective at precipitating them out of the air. Now, the biggest impact actually from this coronavirus is going to be the economic impact. The current move to limit public meetings, schools, public transport, airlines, sporting events is wise to keep the spread of it down, but it's going to be very, very costly to the economy. And many businesses will not survive this. I'm surprised if the cruise ship industry survives. It will be difficult for many people with pensions in the stock market to survive because the markets are going to continue to go down. They've dropped now into bear market territory, that is 20% below their peak. But given that, remember that that peak was only reached a couple of months ago, and it's a major bubble. And so everybody's pension, even at 20% drop in the markets, is not really being hurt at this point compared to the beginning of the year. But this could get a lot worse for businesses, especially with NBA canceling things, the NCAA tournament canceling fan participation. And if any of the players get sick, then they're going to have to cancel like the NBA did, because of player-to-player contact will cause people to get sick. So do get in the habit of not touching your nose, your mouth, and your eyes. You can be less concerned about how long and detailed in hand washing if you get over the aspect of touching your nose or your eyes, especially because that's where the virus will get into the system and through the mouth. But just being on your hands, is not that difficult to keep safe from, as long as you don't touch your nose or mouth. Now, Trump has suspended travel from Europe for 30 days as part of a response to foreign coronavirus. However, that excludes American citizens who want to get back in the country, though they will have to undergo a quarantine for about 14 days. It also excludes their relatives and travelers from the UK and Ireland. That's brought a lot of controversy because UK and Ireland are not particularly up to speed in terms of halting the spread, as is France and other countries. Italy has been particularly hit hard because it did not have a ban on travel for China and it got into the country, and neither did Iran. Iran has a 14% death rate, which is pretty high. And a lot of that is in the elderly. In Italy, that's the same case. Almost a third of people in Italy are elderly and not particularly healthy. And so that's why the death rate is up to 6%. Italy has closed their bars, restaurants, and most shops as a severe measure to stop the spread of the virus. But it's interesting, in telephone conversations with people I've had in Italy, even in and near the Milan area, which is the hot spot, that's the big commercial center in Italy, where a lot of foreign travel takes place, where the virus has really spread. A lot of big corporations state they don't know anyone who has the coronavirus, so it really is spotty. It depends if you get in a cluster of infection where people spread it one to another. But once again, I want to emphasize, I do not think this is that deadly. If you take proper health precautions, and I'm not talking medical protocols, antibiotics you should not be taking, those are really to stop any additional or secondary bacterial infections when you get pneumonia. That's why they give antibiotics for pneumonia, even though pneumonia is 90% a viral disease, which antibiotics don't help with. But this has caused a lot of these superbugs and bacteria to be created that are resistant to antibiotics. So you must be very, very careful about taking antibiotics. They do kill the good bacteria in the gut. And it's very, very difficult to reestablish that flora within the gut, even if you take certain bacterial supplements to do that. It's just important to learn to rely on natural remedies. Now, let me discuss, as Alex said at the end of the last segment, what's the cause of this? It is my opinion, even though there's been a lot of hype on the internet from the left, mostly global research and other organizations like that that come from the left wing that are trying to defend Russia and China, especially China, that are saying this was a U.S. developed virus and was, and I don't think that that's really true. It's very, very clear that the Bio4 lab in Wuhan by China was working on this and many other biological weapons. I published in the World Affairs Brief the speech by a general some decade ago. It's talked about China, since they didn't want to destroy the U.S. as an infrastructure. They want Lebensraum, or living room, for Chinese. They want to depopulate the United States. And he suggested what they're going to do is use a bioweapon. I think that bioweapon did leak out of the lab. As Lancet Medical Journal pointed out, they have very, very poor limitations on garbage disposal, especially of gloves. It's very easy in that scavenger economy in China for people to have rounded up a lot of those gloves, distributed to the fish market, and got it distributed that way. But I think this was blowback to China for working assiduously to try to destroy the West with a biological weapon. I think it's blowback to them, and they're suffering for it. Their economy has suffered, and the largest benefit is that it will force the United States and other economies to start to look for other cheap manufacturing sources rather than China, which in the long term could help slow down China's move to build weapons of mass destruction. As readers of the World Affairs Brief know, it's my considered opinion that Russia and China are both building for a nuclear first strike against the West, sometime probably when they're ready militarily, not toward the end of this decade. And China, of course, is pouring in billions and billions of dollars to their weaponization systems, not only hypersonic missiles, but cruise missiles and ballistic missiles. They're not doing this for defensive purposes. The Trump administration is working towards, trying to get China to join with them in Russia in a new extension of the New START treaty, a new treaty involving Russia and China. And while that's good, thinking strategically, because it doesn't do any good, you know, to have a weapons or disarmament treaty with Russia, which cheats on them anyway. If you have a third party that's just as powerful as Russia that you haven't got a treaty with. Now, I don't have any confidence in arms control treaties actually stopping nuclear proliferation. Both Russia and China will cheat. And the United States has secret weapon systems, not necessarily nuclear, that they're devising as well. I mean, nobody is naive enough to believe that those two countries are actually going to disarm when their stated intent as communist countries is to take over the West.
Well, that's right. All right. Joel Skousen, World Affairs Brief Editor-in-Chief, thank you for the really informative background info. I agree with you. They've gone from Lancet 15% death rate to 5% to 2%. It is a new novel virus. It's man-made. It's mutating. I believe it's a cover for other weapon systems under the same name in the future. This is a giant global drill for a lockdown and to try to damage the economic system to drive Trump from power. I think Trump now has figured that out and hopefully takes the right actions to deal with that. Thank you so much for your time.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Alex. Thank you.
In 30 seconds, what else do you think Trump should do?
Well, you know, he's trying to bail out the economy with a lot of economic measures, and the Fed is just pouring billions into the economy. They've got a $500 billion payout to the banks this week to support repo agreements or repurchase agreements. $175 billions a day for the past 4 days. This is tremendously bad for the economy, long-term inflation, but it's bailing out the banks, and Trump shouldn't be doing it.
All right, Joel Skousen, thank you. Find out more at worldaffairsbrief.com. I'm Alex Jones with newswars.com and infowars.com. We've got some new special little news pieces coming up. And then I've got Dr. Steve Pachinik on. He thinks the virus is a bunch of hype as well. We'll get his latest intel. He's got a lot of sources. And then Milo Yiannopoulos is in studio. I'm Alex Jones. This is the InfoWar.
Founder Alex Jones is calling out alleged collusion between Google and Democrats.
The American people demand that their First Amendment be defended.
The Republic is rising.
Well, Alex, you're the gladiator, and you keep on pounding the opposition there. I love it.
Alex Jones, nice guy.
You've been demonized enough.
I mean, you must be a threat if they call you out by name.
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones. Alex Jones.
I know we had Alex Jones in the room earlier promoting conspiracy theories.
Alex Jones obviously is a well-known conspiracy theorist whose brand is bullying.
You didn't call me to testify in America. I have a right to face my accusers. And you, Congressman Deutsch, are a liar and a fraud.
The real election meddling is by Facebook and Google and others that are shadow banning people, that are outright banning people, and that are blocking conservatives involved in their own First Amendment political speech.
InfoWars tells viewers that the world is out to get them.
The FCC is cracking down on conspiracy theorist Alex Jones.
InfoWars just lost their war on info. Yesterday, Apple,
iTunes, Vimeo, and Spotify,
and YouTube, Twitter,
and Facebook
have all blocked Alex Jones and InfoWars.
So there's also guys on CNN that spend their whole day calling Facebook and saying, can you ban this person?
I want them shut down. I want them silenced. I want them muted. I think they are horrible for our society.
I want them shut down. I want them silenced.
Alex Jones, which has now been taken off of Facebook, thank God.
But who is the most banned news network in the world?
Infowars.com.
Infowars. It's a radio show hosted by Alex Jones.
Infowars comes to mind.
What's happened with Infowars? I would love it if you would follow up also about Alex Jones and Infowars.
Infowars.
You watch Infowars?
President Trump is the Infowars president.
Trump appeared on Jones's show.
He actually went on Jones's show and said,
your reputation's amazing. I will not let you down.
Move, bitch!
Get out the way!
Up, up, and away!
Swallowswell, why do you hate the First Amendment so much? There goes Congressman Swallowswell.
Google is going to lie again and violate the law.
That's enough. You're making too much noise.
That man's a threat to this country.
I'd like reserve power.
I've gone from being willing to have a fight to wanting one at this point.
I'm getting pissed now.
And the deplatforming didn't work.
With me, it's all straightforward attack. That's the real power.
Hello, this is Hank Hill, and I'm telling you what, you need to listen to Alex Jones.
Infowars.com.
1776 will commence again if you try to take off firearms.
Shame on the mainstream corporate media for not defending the First Amendment, but instead attack dogging, calling for federal regulators to shut down independent free press working with big tech.
We're not turning our guns in, and we're not running, and we're not backing down. If you want to come and take them.
There are, of course, those who do not want us to speak.
We think, just let me think.
I suspect even now, orders are being shouted into telephones, and men with guns will soon be on their way.
It's Chancellor Settler.
Damn it!
Why? Because while the truncheon may be used in lieu of conversation, words will always retain their power. Words offer the means to meaning, and for those who will listen, the enunciation of truth. And the truth is, there is something terribly wrong with this country, isn't there?
You designed it, sir. You wanted it foolproof. You told me every television in London.
Cruelty and injustice, intolerance and oppression. And where once you had the freedom to object, to think and speak as you saw fit, you now have sensors and systems of surveillance coercing your conformity and soliciting your submission.
We need cameras.
How did this happen? Who's to blame? Well, certainly there are those who are more responsible than others, and they will be held accountable. But again, truth be told, if you're looking for the guilty, you need only look into a mirror. I know why you did it. I know you were afraid. Who wouldn't be? War, terror, disease. There were a myriad of problems which conspired to corrupt your reason and rob you of your common sense. Fear got the best of you, and in your panic, you turned to the now High Chancellor, Adam Sutler. He promised you order, he promised you peace, and all he demanded in return was your silent, obedient consent.
There is a war. There is a war.
It's happening now.
It will decide the fate of humanity. The time to choose sides has come. We are the resistance. We are the InfoWar. And we have taken the Republic back, but now we must defend it. The human mind has built the world we've seen and has built the supercomputers we're now told are gods. Oh, we're told we're obsolete, we're a joke, but we built the things that are our gods? I don't think that's the way it works. No, God built us so that we could play in the sandbox and build things that think it's God and try to challenge us. And only in that fight for our life against our own creation will we finally reach up through the ether for God's hand and make that electrochemical spiritual connection. And like lightning bolts and Promethean fire, God will then open the door. Because God is all about free will. And you've got to ask for that fire. You got to prove you're not going to use that fire against the innocents. You've got to prove that you're not a tyrant before God will smile on you and give you the fire. You see, the globalists try to act like they've got God's power. They try to imitate what they've seen. But an imitation is not the real thing. And it's orders of magnitude weaker. This is what you want. This is what you get. The question is, can you handle that Promethean fire? So, I've been saying for 3-4 weeks that when you see the big celebrity get it, that will be when the global hysteria goes into overdrive. And I said, I believe, if I had the crew, we'd go back and find it. You all heard it. That as soon as Trump acknowledges that it's deadly and announces his plan to fight it, that you'll see them make their other announcements. Well, they did it in doubles. They had horrible globalists. I mean, you talk about anti-American and his actual political activities, anti-gun, anti-family, anti-Trump, anti-America, so-called, you know, good boy Tom Hanks. Announced he's in Australia and Owen, he and a co-star for some movie they're making habit. So he's out there all over the news during his production. All they got to do is have a doctor claim that happened. I believe at a gut level that fits all the scripting, especially because it came out right as Trump gave his speech to overshadow that. Because in the weird narcissistic needle Johnson world, the chicken crap dimension world of people like Hanks, that's all they care about is being the number one story. And so here's Tom Hanks 3.5 years ago saying Trump will never be president, that flying saucers would land with dinosaurs wearing red capes. And now he's all part of the consortium saying Trump's done a terrible job. And you better listen to him because he's a coronavirus victim. Here he is.
But there's an American presidential potential candidate, not even nominee yet. He wants to make America great. Is that what Donald Trump's going to do?
Well, here's the problem. America's already great, so I don't know what he is talking about.
You don't think if he becomes a president, he'll make it great because the states is already great?
I think that man will be president of the United States right about the time that spaceships come down filled with dinosaurs and red capes.
On that note, Tom,
take it
thank
from me.
Much.
How about that?
Cheers, Tom.
Take it from me. How about that? And everything is about him and that weird Hollywood stinking perch he sits on like a carrion crow feeding on us. So, let's go to John Bowne's latest very powerful report that just came out. Coronavirus enters the second phase. This video is important. Share it from Bandai Video.
As the coronavirus grows, President Trump has suspended travel between the United States and most of Europe as the World Health Organization finally declared the coronavirus a pandemic.
Today, the World Health Organization officially announced that this is a global pandemic. At the very start of the outbreak, we instituted sweeping travel restrictions on China and put in place the first federally mandated quarantine in over 50 years. We declared a public health emergency and issued the highest level of travel warning on other countries as the virus spread its horrible infection. We will be suspending all travel from Europe to the United States for the next 30 days. The new rules will go into effect Friday at midnight. These restrictions will be adjusted subject to conditions on the ground. There will be exemptions for Americans who have undergone appropriate screenings, and these prohibitions will not only apply to the tremendous amount of trade and cargo, but various other things as we get approval. Anything coming from Europe to the United States is what we are discussing. These restrictions will also not apply to the United Kingdom. We are all in this together. We must put politics aside, stop the partisanship, and unify together as one nation and one family.
Of course, Democrat haters will hate as they claim President Trump has done nothing.
You have Donald Trump saying that's nothing to worry about here. Move along, just like the Chinese.
Yeah.
The 2019 to 2020 season of the NBA has also been suspended indefinitely after a player on the Utah Jazz tested positive, while the NCAA March Madness will go on with empty seats. Meanwhile, the first positive case involving a major celebrity has occurred in Australia as Tom Hanks and his wife Rita Wilson offered this statement to Deadline. Hello, folks. Rita and I are down here in Australia. We felt a bit tired, like we had colds and some body aches. Rita had some chills that came and went, slight fevers too. To play things right, as is needed in the world right now, we were tested for the coronavirus and were found to be positive. Hanks and his wife are in their early 60s, the beginning of the age group that is strongly being warned to restrict themselves from public places as much as possible. And we are gradually learning of the effects of the virus on the lungs of those infected. As the Daily Mirror reported, these x-ray images show the damage that coronavirus is doing to the lungs of people who catch the potentially deadly bug. Doctors have been able to identify specific abnormalities caused by COVID-19 and the patterns are similar to those found in patients from SARS and MERS outbreaks. The scans show patches in the lungs, and the experts' findings could lead to a quicker diagnosis and help to prevent infections. The first person to catch the flu-like illness had previously told how it hit him like a train and left him suffocating and in blinding pain for weeks. Meanwhile, as The Hill reports, federally funded tests conducted by scientists from several major institutions indicated that the novel form of coronavirus behind a worldwide outbreak can survive in the air for several hours.
Well, SARS was also a coronavirus in 2002. It infected 8,000 people, and it killed about 775. It had a mortality of about 9 to 10%, so that's only 8,000 people. In about a year, in the 2.5 months that we've had this coronavirus, as you know, we now have multiples of that. The seasonal flu that we deal with every year has a mortality of 0.1%. The stated mortality overall of this, when you look at all the data, including China, is about 3%. It first started off as 2 and now 3. I think if you count all the cases of minimally symptomatic or asymptomatic infection, that probably brings the mortality rate down to somewhere around 1%, which means it is 10 times more lethal than the seasonal flu.
Last week, Republican members of Congress were told that there's a good chance most people in the United States will eventually be exposed to the coronavirus. They weren't suggesting that most people will become infected or ill, but that most will encounter the virus. Meanwhile, the super rich, as expected, jet off to their bunkers, heading off to countries largely unaffected and taking their own personal doctors and nurses with them, just as we've been documenting for years. John Bound reporting.
That's right. I'm very proud of the operation. For at least 20 years, we've exposed that the global elite are building private airstrips, underground bunkers, putting in robot anti-tank emplacements. And all that means is they remote control turrets with 50 cal machine guns and bigger. I mean, what is that for? What the hell have they done? Well, they know they've got some evil stuff planned and they want to protect themselves from what they've done. And so we'll talk about it when we come back. Self-isolation is last resort for super rich preparing for coronavirus. Super rich get off disaster bunkers, jet off to disaster bunkers amid coronavirus outbreak. And Dr. Steve Pachenik is going to be coming on as well. But this thing is gigantic, no matter what perspective or angle you look at it. And a lot of folks survive this, but it does jack your lungs up and then come back and get your heart. So I think the hype about it's a little overblown, but not by much. And it's man-made. They don't want a discussion about that, do they? We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
And Dr. Steve Pachenik of stevepachenik.com is an amazing guest. We'll talk to him here in just a moment. But I wanted to hit this theme of the left making this racial, making this about how we're racist. You know, they said Trump 5 weeks ago when he blocked Chinese flights was bad, even though Russia and Japan and South Korea had already blocked the flights. He did it later. Then they criticized him for doing it later. Now he said no flights from Europe unless they're vetted by a medical doctor. That sounds reasonable. This is as bad as they say. Now the Democrats say federal judges are going to try to block that, and they've got a bill to stop it. So you talk about the murder of common sense. How do you say you haven't done enough, then you do something, and now you're bad? Mayor of Florence encouraged Italians to hug a Chinese because they've had a lot of imported high-skilled workers to, you know, for the leather shoes and all that and the clotheries before coronavirus pandemic hit. And you've heard that whole thing. And then we've got these other articles. We've got AOC says people aren't going to Chinese restaurants due to racism. You know, I got to tell you, there's a lot of restaurants I like in Austin you can't get into. I was in one last night. There was like no one in there. Was it Chinese, by the way? Everybody knows it was in a Japanese restaurant 2 nights before that and had some sake and got arrested. Blew under the limit, but still, they took me to jail to do the test. So I was in a Japanese restaurant. It's documented by the police department. They actually went and checked the cameras, I'm told, to make sure. This is getting crazy. So I was in a Japanese restaurant, but this is all happening. But let's play this clip first. This is a clip here of Acosta complains of Trump xenophobia for admitting the virus came from a foreign country because the media is trying to blame him. Here it is.
At one point during this address, the president referred to the coronavirus as a, quote, foreign virus. That I think was interesting because as I was talking to sources earlier this evening, one of the points that the president wanted to make tonight, wanted to get across to Americans, is that this virus did not start here, but that they're dealing with it. Now, why the president would go as far as
to describe it as a foreign
virus, that is something we'll also be asking questions about. But it should be pointed out that Stephen Miller, who is an immigration hardliner who advises the president, is one of his top
advisors
and speechwriters,
right.
Was a driving force in writing this speech. And I think it's going to smack, it's going to come across to a lot of Americans as smacking of xenophobia.
Yeah, that's right. You're blaming Trump and going, wow, thank God the economy's going down. Yeah, that should discredit Democrats for a trillion years, man. Here's AOC. People aren't going to Chinese food restaurants. What the hell? Trying to project race onto this. They just play every angle, but they never think about third dimension. It's like one dimensional. Like they're rooting for the country to go down. They don't know how bad that looks. Like, this will hurt Trump if we all go bankrupt. Here she is.
Honestly, it sounds almost so silly to say, but there's a lot of restaurants that are feeling the pain of racism, where people are literally not patroning Chinese restaurants. They're not patroning Asian restaurants.
Well, I am.
Because of just straight up racism around the coronavirus. So,
as everyone's seeing, I got arrested for it, a half bottle of sake, but they're dropping the charges. So Dr. Pachanik's laughing about this. The Democrats like seize on every political option, but they never think that it contradicts their last statement. Like, you're not doing enough. Shut down the flights. Okay, I'm shutting the flights down. Oh, my God, you're a racist. Dr. Pachanik, you're a psychological warfare expert. You used to head up State Department operations in that. What do you call this where they're like tone deaf like this? Just low IQ?
It's called stupidity. That's true. It's a serious case of stupidity, ignorance, and narcissism. It is so stupid that if she even thought for a moment, let me tell you, what kind of racism is it follows? I'll give you the example. Disney World, both in Hollywood and in Florida, is so full to capacity. Would she say we're pro Mickey Mouse or we're anti a Chinese restaurant, so we go to pro Mickey Mouse? I mean, the converse of the argument, it's so absurd that she's an idiot. I mean, basically what you have is stupidity and the notion that out of that, you're going to make all kinds of palaver. And of course, you got Cuomo there. Cuomo's brother as the governor of New York is a disaster. De Blasio's a disaster as the mayor.
Well, exactly. But all they do is go back to race. So I'm asking that question. Clearly, they're trying to use this for political aims. How do you think that's going to work out?
It's not going to work yet. It's going to rebound back to the Democrats. And when you have a guy like Biden, which I couldn't believe, he would lead the party. Senile, demented. A year ago, I said it on your show, he had senile dementia, classical. I'm a board examiner in psychiatry and neurology. I don't hear one psychiatrist from Yale who
By the way, spend a few minutes as a guy that's like, you know, board certified. You're the guy that inspects hospitals. You're a psychiatrist, all of it. When you watch him, when you say classic, explain it to people.
What I am is, you go through med school, then you go to residency. Once you go through residency, you pass your boards 2 years afterwards. On top of that, those people who examine you in the board are called board examiners. So in the hierarchy of tradition in medicine, the board examiners are the highest level because we either determine whether you become a neurologist or a psychiatrist. And I've been doing that for 10 years. Unfortunately, for 10 years, I've been flunking 60% from Harvard and Yale of all these psychiatrists who couldn't give me a diagnosis of a patient sitting right in front of them. And instead, we're talking about absolute nonsense. And that's what you're seeing right here now. You're talking to doctors.
It's a mass mental breakdown. How does that work in mob psychology? Because, it seems like they're all going insane.
Well, it's not only they're going insane. What's happening is the minute you have the sense of coronavirus and a rationale for people to be fearful, they'll project that fear onto something they really don't like. Well, who's the person they don't like the most among the Democrats? Oh, I'm shocked. It's Trump. Nevertheless, Trump gave a brilliant speech last night. He explained exactly what he was going to do. He explained the rationale for it. He said, I'm going to give you money. We're going to do all the necessary things that CDC requires, HHS requires. And by the way, I'm going to make sure that you don't get sick and we go ahead and make America great. So then he said, look, the virus came from Wuhan. It's clear it came from Wuhan. President Xi of China can't say he didn't have the virus there. And many of the viruses started in China because the Chinese sense of hygiene is very low. Even 30 years later, when I've been in China, you would see people spitting on the ground in front of you. They have an unusual market where the animals.
It's a giant pig pen.
That's correct. And from the pig pen and the bats in China, the coronavirus went right into humans. And some of the great virologists who weren't all that great thought it would never pass on to the humans from the animals, but it did, and it spread. It's not lethal. I said it a month ago on your show. It will be a pandemic, exactly what I said, but very few people will die. So less than 3% of the people die all over the world. And we have less than 3% of people dying here because normally the people who will die are usually in my age group, 60 to 80 or 90, but they are compromised in terms of their health.
All right, stay there, Dr. Pacinic, because I'm fascinated with all this and your expertise, but I want to go back to you as a board certified psychiatrist examiner, the guy that's over the doctors. Look, I'm no doctor. I just know he went from like a year ago being able to talk to not being able to talk. I said, looks like a stroke, looks like dementia. We've all had family that gets like that. But as a medical doctor, what are you seeing with Biden?
I am a shotgun rider for the San Jacinto line. The desert is my brother. My skin is cracked and dry. I was riding on a full coach, and everything was fine till we took a shorter road to save some time. The bandits only fired once, they shot me in the chest. They may have wounded me, but they'll never get the best of better men. 'Cause I'll ride again.
I want to look at the Democrat leading candidate with Dr. Steve Pacinic of stevepacinic.com here in a moment. But I want to get to this point. I sat back 6 weeks ago and I saw the pre-programming, the hysteria in China, the scripted looks of the police, and the emergency workers. And I said, whether this virus is super deadly or not, they're using this to clamp down and take control of their country to face save over what happened in Taiwan and that rebellion pretty much succeeding. And this is going to end up being projected. They've set the precedent at the West, and then they're going to say that Trump didn't respond right. I could just see it. They're all opportunists. We know what's going to happen. It happened, like I said. I don't know how I know this stuff. It's like I said before 9/11. I said, they're going to blow up the World Trade Center and blame it on bin Laden within 2 months. I could just see the pre-programming. Well, this was even more obvious, okay? And then I get Dr. Pacinic and Limbaugh and the president wanting to play it down 4 or 5 weeks ago, trying to defeat the propaganda and the hype. Because, yeah, it probably does kill 0.5% or even less. That's even sick people, old people. And it's still sad. It's still a problem. But now they've gotten all the big institutions and the NBA and big tech to panic and cancel everything. And I just think underestimating the hysteria, not the virus, but the hysteria is a big problem. And I just think the president's doing good now, getting out ahead and saying, okay, it's a problem, and then use their own propaganda against them. Sure, the borders are all shut down. Sure, we're going to deport people now. Instead of just being in a defense mode. I get wanting to defeat the propaganda, but Dr. Pacinic, just looking at this, I know you want to just say, oh, look like it came out of the pig pens and the slop things, but big universities are out saying it's man-made. And then I look at the different mutations and the different death rates, and I see the left all saying, thank God for this is going to bring Trump down. I think if the president, I've been saying this for months, over a month, talks about the providence of it and then looks at the Chi-Coms as releasing it, they're shut down instead of being victims. And now look at this, just broke. Andy Ngo is now reporting this. It's links to it, major Chinese news. The Chinese foreign minister just spread conspiracies. U.S. military started the coronavirus in China, has been added by left-wing U.S. media. It's now being picked up by newspapers everywhere. We have called those who linked the virus to Wuhan, where it first manifested, racist. And so here it is. And there's all these articles saying, don't look at the provenance. Don't say it came from China. CNN saying, don't even say it came from China, because now they're going to say it came from the United States. Dr. Pachenik, what do you make of this?
What I make of this is exactly what we said, and I said about a year ago. President Xi has taken over a country using the most antiquated ideology in the world, even for the Chinese, Mao Zedong. And he really doesn't understand Mao very well. Mao had killed so many million people and also beat up his father, beat him up. Instead of rebelling against it, Xi, who I don't think is all that bright, literally held on to this ideology in order to coerce all of China into one massive response. Well, that's not going to work. What you saw in Hong Kong, and in a way what you saw is clampdown on Hubei and Hunan, is really a reaffirmation of what he thinks to be the Caesar of communism. It's a contradictory term, but he is the Stalin of communism.
Or he's the dear leader. He's a dictator now, yeah.
Well, he is a dictator, but in fact, what it really shows, and many of the Chinese are seeing exactly what I saw, is the weakness within his own character and his understanding of how to control the Chinese, and the fact that he panicked and wasn't around Wuhan for 10, 12 days.
Yeah, why did he hide out for, I think it was more than 2 weeks.
Correct. He was gone for 2 weeks. He was scared. He was fearful, and instead he took his minions, sent them over to Hunan, and said, you take be in charge, and then fired them. This is the classical, lazy, cowardly approach.
Very Stalinistic.
Extremely so. In this case, it's Mao Zedong, but you don't have a Deng Xiaoping, because behind him should be a technocrat or a military leader within the PLA. If I were there in the People's Liberation Army, I would have attempted a coup against Xi, because number one, it was obvious to me as a leader of the People's Liberation Army that Xi as a civilian is not qualified to be able to hold on to the power or the illusion of power that he has created in China. Secondly, he has really gotten a major problem now, and that was the economic problem you and I talked about 6-7 months ago, where he didn't know how to build up his economy. The growth rate was 6%. Normally, it fell down to way below 4 or 3.
And some estimates are zero now.
It's negative now. He can't really turn it around. That's why I think there's an opportunity now within the People's Communist Party for someone else who is a technocrat, not exactly Hu Jintao, but someone like Deng Xiaoping, who can take over from Xi and go along with the People's Liberation.
Why is Xi in power? Because he can make deals with Western corporations and he bent over. Is that why?
Well, he's totally corrupt. I mean, the key to Chinese power is what we call Guanxi, Q-U-A-N-X-I, means relationships. He has totally co-opted his Politburo and the infrastructure on the regional basis with Guanxi, dollars, money, corruption. He's staying there with the aid of corruption. However, if there was anybody challenging him, which I'm really saying right now, from the People's Liberation Army, where there's less corruption, or the technocrats who understand that they can no longer run China on a credit system, which is what they've been doing, and making up numbers because they can't mark to the market, which means if they have a $100 million loan on a property and the property is worth $100 million, they won't discount that loan to zero and instead say, oh, yeah, well, we have $100 million net worth.
Sure, they have the most rigged economy in the world. So let me ask you this then.
Okay.
Obviously, opportunists in the West are trying to use this to overthrow Trump. Gut level, just stalting it out, Dr. Pachenik, how do you see this whole attempt to blame America for the Wuhan virus and to bring down Trump? How do you see that going, and how does Trump need to counter that?
The way Trump needs to counter it is exactly what he's been doing now. He went out, he's providing finances, he's providing a leadership, he's articulating that leadership. He's allowing Tony Fauci to express exactly the scientific point of view, where Tony, who trained me at Cornell Medical School, said, look, It's going to be pervasive. I said before on this show a couple of months ago, it would be a pandemic. That's just a fancy word to say it will spread. But the number of people who will die will be far less than anybody you could imagine.
And that's what Trump said last night. He said, listen, it's part of life. Bad stuff happens. We're tough. Let's deal with it. Just like Roosevelt said, the only thing to fear is fear itself. Get ready. That's great. Get ready. But don't like get in a fetal position and start pissing all over yourself.
Correct. And in fact, Alex, what we need is exactly what we have, which is a businessman. In contrast, you have Nancy Pelosi, who held back all of the money in order to get Democratic, you know, goodies in there. And she's made it a politicized issue. Well, Nancy's not going to be around much longer. Neither is Bernie Sanders, neither is Schumer. It's a whole clean sweep. Within a year, I predict next year that you and I will see Trump back again and Republicans coming into California. As a matter of fact, one of the candidates called me up.
No, you said that a few months ago, that they looked ready for California to swing back red. And now they're admitting there's a total turn against Democrats because they can't run sanitation. They can run nothing.
It's not only they can't run, Alex, it's that they cause more problems. Nancy Pelosi's nephew or family member, Newsom, created 85,000 new homeless on La Brea in Los Angeles and increased the number of homeless in San Francisco from 85,000.
Anyway, stay there. Let's come back with Dr. Pachenik. I don't think people that don't live in Austin or L.A. or San Francisco or Portland or Seattle, you get it. You're talking about zombie homeless running around no matter where you are. Poor neighborhood rich. It's like Day of the Dead. They're crapping everywhere. How did this happen?
Cyrus Jones from 1810 to 1913 made his great-grandchildren believe you could live to 103. 103 is forever when you're just a little kid.
So Cyrus Jones.
So Cyrus Jones live forever.
Grave digger. Well, we've already dug the grave for communism.
When you dig my
We're digging the grave for globalism.
Could you make it?
We're building that stairway to heaven towards Americanism. So our Steve Pachenik's a really smart guy, best-selling author, researcher, stevepachenik.com. I wanted to ask him then, we went to break, how do you mismanage, and like Austin tripled homeless in like 1 year. They admit that. How do you create what you go to L.A. now, and it looks like a War of the Worlds or I guess the thing would be Road Warrior. I mean, everywhere you go, it's hellish, and everything's breaking down. What have they done? What's unfolding? It's not just one area or one sector or one. No, it's everywhere. So that's key. To talk about where this is all going, to understand the psychology of the Democrats, Dr. Pachenik.
Basically, what you have is a party that was highly corrupt in California and dominated by very strong left-wing politicians. There was often it was called the Waxman-Berman machinery, which literally implemented a lot of the laws. Now you have a Taiwanese Chinaman named Lee or Liu, who's taken over. But for the most part, you have ascendancy of family members after family members. Pelosi came out of a corrupt family.
So it's aristocracy again.
Well, it's not even an aristocracy. It's the reverse. It's a deficient, defunct, highly corrupt system, which started with the Italian mobs in Baltimore.
So what's called a nepotistic mental illness?
The corruption. Yeah, this is basically nepotism. This is an incredible amount of corruption and the inability to really manage anything. None of them built a business, despite the fact that Newsom was brought in by Getty. All of them. I mean, how does this woman, this moron, worth $130 million on a salary of $240,000. How do you get another idiot like Feinstein, 87 years old, worth $80 million on her salary? So what you're seeing is the corruption of the Senate, of Congress, and often the presidency. The irony with Trump is he doesn't need to be corrupted. He knows exactly what it takes to build a casino in New Jersey.
No, sure. He wants to overthrow the whole corrupt system, be the turnaround guy for America, which makes him the new George Washington.
Now you got it. He's the 21st century president who came in without the same portfolio everybody else did.
Well, Washington came in pissed that he was never even allowed in because he didn't have the insider portfolio. It's the same story again.
Correct. But Washington, remember, had killed a British officer, and he was technically considered a terrorist by the British. Now, Trump is not a terrorist, but he came in as somebody, quote, who the system did not like. So in that way, they're very similar. The truth of the matter is Trump knows every mafia guy from here to California, all over the world. He knows exactly how to make a deal with President Xi or Putin. We've never had presidents like that. He understands the personality because on a gut level, he says, I like that guy. When he says, I like him, there's a lot of meaning to it. Now, what I'm amazed—
Explain what that means. That just means he understands how to deal with him.
Correct. And that means on a one-to-one relationship, which is really what this republic is about, that the key person representing us is the one who understands the best that we're not going to go to wars anymore, as he's shown in Afghanistan. And thank you, Zalmay Khalilzad, for finally culminating the war.
Well, isn't that a positive thing that Trump's the peace president getting no credit?
Well, he's getting no credit because you've got idiots like Cheney, who was the daughter of a chicken hawk who never went to prison for the lies and crimes he committed. We don't have accountability. If we had accountability, you would have half your presidents, the Clintons, you would have—
They'd all be in prison. We'd be carrying Trump on our shoulders.
Correct, but you'd have the rest of them in prison. So we don't have that accountability. Without that accountability, Trump has to work harder to say, look, I'm different from these guys. I may use some of the same people, but you're going to watch what I'm going to do. The economy tanked. It wasn't because of Trump. The coronavirus came in and hit our supply chain.
No, exactly. But I think the left's wrong. I think if they tank the economy, it's like Hitler bombing London. I don't think people turn against Trump now. I think they get mad at Democrats.
Oh, you're absolutely right. They're going to say very simply, this is the Democratic issue because the Democrats are the one, you know, they're still wealthy. They didn't get hurt. Trump is the one who said, we're going to put in money, trillions of dollars into the economy. I'm going to cut the interest rates. And
sure, but the Democrats have been cheerleading on every channel, hoping the virus hurts America. I watch panels on MSNBC, CNN with like six, seven people hoping it hurts us. It's like the most discrediting thing I've ever seen.
Well, Alex, you have more enthusiasm and staying power than I do. I have no interest whatsoever to watch them. They're the same. It's a perseveration.
No, I agree. They're a facade. They have almost no viewers. But it shows the mind of these people that they would go on TV and root against their own country. It's just like...
Well, but you got to understand something. They've never served our country. They have no idea what service to the country is. They have no idea what it means to get outside of Washington or L.A. or Hollywood. So what do you have? You have the disintegration of Hollywood that came in and that's gone. You've got the rise of new streaming services. You have the end of many of the left wing, you know, units that brought them into power, the political system.
No, I agree. So they're the dinosaurs. They haven't figured out they're dead yet.
Correct.
So what do you expect to happen next then?
What I expect to happen next is they're going to be a landslide victory for Trump. He's going to come back in, and then he's going to fire a lot of the people in the government. What you're seeing now with the coronavirus and the fact that they're being, you know, isolated means we don't need these people in the government. Most of them are part-time, or most of them don't even work when they're there. So that's the beginning of the end of the large federal government. The second part is we're going to pull all our troops back from where they belong. And thirdly, we're probably going to increase the funding to space warfare, not just to NASA, but to the space warfare.
Exactly. Like this Marine Corps head wants more amphibious assault units from like 50, 70 years ago. Don't we just want more space weapons?
That's correct. And we don't want any more kinetic action. In other words, we don't need tanks. We don't need any bazookas. We need
Star Destroyers.
We don't need destroyers. I don't even need submarines.
Destroyers. I'm saying we need weapons platforms in space. And then that's game over.
That's correct. But we need a capability we still don't have, and that is cyber communication, cyber command. I need young people, men and women, who don't have to go to college, who are able to handle the hacks that are coming in. There's one corporation, a private one, that gets 100 million hacks a day. That's what we're talking about in the new world. It's binary.
I agree. So what's more important, physically dominating space or cyber? I think cyber is even more important than space, but I guess...
It's both. But cyber right now is the key element. Then we go into space because satellites have been shooting at each other for quite a while. But we must get into space very quickly. And we must take the spaceship units out of the Department of Defense and make it solely on its own as an entity of its own, because the Air Force is too far behind. They're not really able to.
Well, I know
to
a lot of that's classified, but I've talked to people that were involved in this. We already had a bunch of robot ships in the 70s up there with the Sabo DU rounds, decapitation weapons, as you know. I mean, now it's like super advanced. I know Obama tried to cut it back and so did others. But I mean, clearly we're way ahead in space.
All right. We're way ahead in space. But now what's going to happen with the coronavirus, we're going to look at our supply manufacturing chain and we're going to look at where the weaknesses were. And they're massive. Where are the airlines coming in? What is their part? Where's the post office?
Right, stop right there. We got to do 5 more minutes. Let's come back and talk about learning how to be self-sufficient and how, like Pat Buchanan said, don't make this about globalism being the answer. Make it about how globalism was the problem. And I think President Trump should do that. And then we've got Milo Yiannopoulos coming in. Dr. Steve Buchanan, stevebuchanan.com is our guest. A thought-provoking. And I said I want him to talk about the senile dementia of the main presidential frontrunner for the Democrats. We'll do that briefly. As well, please don't forget, we're being demonized all over the news. I've been selling Super Blue Silver Immune Gargle with patented nano silver for 3+ years. We've been selling it that whole time because they have FDA studies showing this knocks out viruses, bacteria, you name it. Doesn't mean it'll stop you from getting something. It just means when it comes in contact with it, where it lands in your mouth and stuff, it knocks it out. And they're so mad we talk about this. What they don't know is we were first selling this. Now Walmart just ordered millions of bottles of it. Not from us, but from the people we supply it from. So InfoWarsStore.com, it's back in stock. It's 20% off. We also have this great Living Defense that flushes out everything, goes after unwanted visitors. This was a bestseller. It's been sold out for almost 5 months. InfoWarsStore.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Jenny's laughing at my jokes.
I shouldn't have done it, but I read it in your letter. You said to a friend that you wish you were doing better. I wanted to call you, but I didn't say a thing. 2, 3, 4.
To America, folks. We're here. All right, Dr. Pachinik, really appreciate your time today. We make a lot of great points. In closing, how does this show us that we need to become more self-sufficient? And then I interrupted you with a break 30 minutes ago. Can you get into Biden and his senile dementia? And he seems to be degenerating very, very fast.
Let me go. You and I had this conversation a year ago, and I said that the minute the Democrats invited psychiatrists from Yale, particularly Jerry Post from the CIA and Dr. Bren Lee, the chairman at Yale Department, and 700 other psychiatrists to designate that Trump was a malignant narcissist, which is not correct. They opened the door to their own self-destruction. And that's really what we're talking about, Alex. You and I have been talking about the self-destruction of a party and a people who are so arrogant and so ignorant that they didn't realize they were talking about their own deficiencies. Biden has a serious problem. I don't wish it upon him. He had 2 aneurysms. He's totally disoriented, time, place, and person. The Democrats right next to him know very well that he's demented.
You said it a year ago. He keeps not knowing where he is. Everywhere he goes, he says he's in the wrong place now.
That's correct. And he actually confused his daughter and his wife. So it's totally disoriented. I can say honestly, because I was not asked to come in. Trump would never ask me for psychiatric diagnosis and I wouldn't provide it for him. I'm saying this to you as a board examiner a year ago, not maliciously, and it's not a weapon. He is senile by any definition. I said the same thing when Bernie Sanders said he only had a coronary insufficiency. And I said that was a lie. He had a heart attack 3 days later, they had to admit he had a heart attack. So the two front-running candidates are literally the forefront of the self-destruction of the Democratic Party.
Well, that's my next question. How would you keep pushing someone who can't string a sentence together instead of just worrying about Biden, which I know you're not? What does it say about the Democrats? They keep trying to push this guy.
Always remember, Napoleon said, never correct the mistakes of your enemy. I'm not going to correct it. I'm saying it to you.
No, you're right. The quote is, don't interrupt your enemy while they're destroying themselves.
That's correct. Thank you. You must have known Napoleon Bonaparte. So,
I just know that's a famous quote. You're right.
No. But I'm saying, Alex, this is what we don't do. We do not interrupt. We can talk about it. They won't listen. They say we're out of tune. We're alternative media. We're right wing. I agree.
Their delusion is their real power. It's our power to bring them down.
That's correct. Remember, everything we talk about is the power for self-destruction. And that's exactly what's been happening. Nancy Pelosi tearing up the speech was the final act of a woman who's senile. Even her own daughter said, this is like Grandma Italy did it. And she's totally out of control. Diane Feinstein doesn't even know what she's doing. At 87 years old, she has to leave. So you're going to have a shift to the right and to the Republican Party, where for the first time, we're going to say it's enough. We have to concentrate on our economy. No more wars. We want peace and we want economic self-sufficiency. Now, the beauty of this country, if we had one religion, it's not Christianity, it's entrepreneurism. We are by nature and by growth a entrepreneur country. I can go bankrupt here twice or three times without having to pay the penalty of disgrace as I would in Europe or China or in Asia.
So we're Wild West system.
You got it. You got it. Self-sufficiency, entrepreneur, and the ability to make mistakes and the ability to assess
reality. Well, that's right. In Europe, the stuff they've done to me, everybody would buy into it and I'd be over. The more rebel I get, the more they do, the more mistakes I make, the more wins I have. People just love me more.
Because you honestly, you're a very bright man. And underneath that humor, you know very well you're getting your point across. And quite frankly, like most other comedians, and you've had a lot of them, they tend to be the best actors and the.
Live from Freedom Command Central, it's the Alex Jones Show.
You know, I don't say this enough, but I mean it from the bottom of my heart. To the audience, to our supporters, to the great crew, to my family that puts up with me. I'm not perfect, but I believe in humanity. And I hate tyrants. And I've seen the victory we've had over evil. Let's crank this song up for a minute. And that's what it comes down to, is I believe in humanity. I know you do. Prove I'm right.
To prove I'm right, I don't need to be forgiven.
And that's what's crazy, is God already forgave me, Jesus did. The globe was trying to play God, make me look guilty, and make me look like a bad person all day. But real people know. And you've held InfoWars up. That's why when you call on the show and thank me, it's a sick joke. I thank you for keeping me in the fight. It's amazing. All right, let me hit some news. Then we're going to go to break and bring Milo in studio. He's got a lot to cover. He did a great job yesterday with Owen Schroer. I didn't watch it when it was live, but I saw it at night in a rebroadcast. It was really powerful. So he'll be in studio. I'm talking about a deplatformed, persecuted person, but it's a badge of honor, and he's stronger now and more hardcore than he was, and that's a good thing. Because the scars aren't blemishes. Everybody knows they're marks of where we've been and what we've done. They're like bumper stickers on the back of an RV, the states and national parks you've traveled to. I like all my scars. They're pretty. My physical scars, my spiritual scars, my emotional scars. They're not fun when they're happening, but later, isn't it the worst things ever happened to us and aware of the best things? Because it's how we judge the rest of the world and how we begin to appreciate really what life's all about. Because without conflict, righteous conflict, there is no consciousness. Well, there could be nothing more emblematic in a science fiction nightmare horror novel than Joe Biden. In what futuristic novel written, say, by Robert A. Heinlein in 1962, would you have a man clearly brain damaged, involved in incredible corruption, who can't string a sentence together, and he's the Democratic nominee, and if you criticize him, you're evil and you're a racist and you're bad? Well, here's the article. It's up on Infowars.com from Adan Salazar. Watch Biden call Trump's response to Wuhan coronavirus xenophobic. And that's the new talking point. China shoots people at checkpoints and welds them into their houses, and all the other countries block them. But we do. It's xenophobic. Well, on the face, that's illogical. But see, he doesn't have logic. All he's got is divide and conquer. So here's what he had to say.
While putting health and safety of the American people first, above everything else. Yesterday, we announced a public health advisory committee of experts who will continue to counsel my campaign and me, help guide our decisions on the steps to minimize further risks. And we will lead by science. The World Health Organization now has officially declared COVID-19 a pandemic. Downplaying it, being overly dismissive, or spreading misinformation is only going to hurt us and further advantage the spread of the disease. But neither should we panic or fall back on xenophobia. Labeling COVID-19 a foreign virus does not displace accountability for the misjudgments that have been taken thus far by the Trump administration. Let me be crystal clear. The coronavirus does not have a political affiliation. It will infect Republicans, independents, and Democrats alike. It will not discriminate based on national origin, race, gender, or zip code. It will touch people in positions of power, as well as the most vulnerable in our society. And it will not stop. Banning all travel from Europe or any other part of the world may slow it, but as we've seen, it will not stop it. And travel restrictions based on favoritism and politics rather than risk will be counterproductive. This disease could impact every nation.
Well, I haven't seen him in like 8 months give a straight talk, but he practiced that like 15 times. And they've got all the American flags behind him because he's not an American, he's a globalist. But did you hear all those lies? It was absolutely stunning, one lie after another. Simply mind-blowing to see that much deception. He said, labeling it a foreign virus won't let you off, Trump, for your bad job, because they want to blame Trump for it, like we told Trump 6 weeks ago. And Trump now gets that, and thank God he's saving his presidency and the country by exposing it. What a dirty group of filth. Oh, China, with its filth and its open sewers, still have high-tech stuff, but then no sewers. And the whole factory's workers live in shanty towns. Oh, they don't have any blame. Oh, no. It's all Trump. It's all America. F off, Joe Biden. You reanimated corpse. Go ahead and climb in that grave. But don't do it till you lose to Donald Trump. I wish no harm upon you, you piece of garbage. Let's shift gears now. Look at some of these headlines I've got here. The feds are going after bogus coronavirus products. Should Alex Jones be worried? That's Mother Jones, George Soros financed. So I've done nothing wrong, but they say, oh, the feds are going after bogus products. So should they go after Alex? That was 2 days ago. Here's today and yesterday. Alex Jones peddling toothpaste he falsely claims can kill coronavirus. That's not actually what I said. New York Post. But why are they attacking me? Alex Jones claims his colloidal silver toothpaste kills coronavirus, despite Jim Baker being sued for some product. Old Jim Baker sells his for $120-something. We sell hers for $19.95. Alex Jones is telling his viewers that the toothpaste will kill coronavirus. Well, let's go over the facts approved by lawyers and the Pentagon. Silver Sol Technology uses InfoWarsStore.com products. Facts. Silver Sol Technology is used as the first line of defense in hospitals and health clinics against viral and bacterial infection. The Pentagon also uses it. I'll show you documents in a moment. Dr. Paul K. Carlton, previously from the Texas A&M University Health and Science Center, wrote to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security that Silver Sol Technology has undergone rigorous testing and has been found to kill anthrax, bubonic plague, hospital staff, and SARS. This is from 13 years ago. We have a copy of the letter on file and have relied upon it for making representations on air. Silver Sol's own website details how it's been researched by the FDA and cleared in double-blind human ingestion studies for over-the-counter sale. We consistently work to maintain above FDA best practice standards on all of our health supplements and website compliance. And then I've got all the letters right here. Okay. So they just don't know what to do, that we have a company with an approved nanosilver that the Pentagon said, there's Department of Army 13 years ago took out SARS, when SARS is the family of coronavirus. Now, does it take out this very coronavirus? It's like saying, if I shoot a wild hog in the head with a 357 Magnum and it dies, if another breed of wild hog goes by, does a bullet kill it? I don't know. I mean, if I run over a dog versus a walrus in the highway, does it kill it? It's ridiculous, folks. Silver's on record and is show documented, and these nanosilvers are super powerful, and it's what they have in hospitals and everywhere. That debate's over. And the Democrats get pissed that we go out and find one of the most recognized certified companies to bring you the best. Why wouldn't I want to bring you the best? I bring you the best at a good price. You love it. I love it. I use it. My kids use it. We live happily ever after. So they're really pissed off right now, folks, that people are getting this and protecting themselves, and they're just running around tattletaling, trying to misrepresent what's going on, and it's just not going to work. No, if you already have this stuff and you already are infected, obviously taking silver isn't going to protect you. But if it's a front line on your hands, creams, all these things are sold over the counter, it's been proven to give you another buffer against it to take it out. And if you take it and have it in your throat and things, when it then affects it, it can block it at that point. It's unbelievable. Okay. Well, we have bizarre stereotypical music here. We got Milo Yiannopoulos here of Censored.tv with the great work with Gavin McGinnis. And he's with us here on air. Did a great job. I watched it last night. I didn't watch it live with Owen Schroyer. Wow, good to have you here in Austin. Glad you came to visit. Got a new big book about to come out. Mm-hmm. But just first and foremost, what's front and center for you?
Well, good to see you. Thanks for having me back. I've been spending the last couple of weeks trying to avoid this hysteria about coronavirus and all of the, you know, it's not entirely clear to me that it even exists. You walk out in the street in New York and Austin, everything seems completely fine. But what I have noticed are all these command and control precedents being set up. You know, if you can, they just closed down hockey just now, a few minutes ago, the NBA yesterday, you know, can shut these games down for something else.
I was just talking to one of the crew here who has family in Mexico, in Monterey. They're just closing school. No one knows that yet. We're about to write an article on it.
The distressing thing about it for lovers of individual liberty is that this is clearly precedent setting, right? If you can close down the NBA for this, then you can do it more easily in the future.
And any group wants to shut down the world economy, they just release a novel virus, it's all over.
Every 2 to 4 years in time of the elections, just peculiar that is. You know, the Democrats.
So who do you think the prime suspect is for this?
Well, Democrats got the recession they wanted, the recession that's the only possible thing that could get Donald Trump out of office.
And they're openly celebrating it. That should end their party forever.
They can't get the guy out of office with a candidate. They can't get him out of office on the facts. They can't get him out of office on the merits. It seems to me the only thing they can get him out of office with is a recession. So that's what they're trying now.
So headline, Milo Yiannopoulos, Democrats bet everything on coronavirus.
Of course. I mean, it's the best thing that's ever happened.
Or Democrats love corona. So I love New York. I love corona.
Listen, I've no doubt there is some kind of flu. I mean, coronavirus has been on the back of bottles of antiseptic or whatever for 3 years already. It has been existed for a while, you know. But the clearly the hysteria is manufactured, and clearly it is serving one particular side of the political aisle who are going in ham on it for electoral reasons. Clearly that's the Democrats. Clearly the media and the Democrats have a vested interest in the country shutting down ahead of the next presidential election. It's obvious, isn't it?
You know, they pulled that up. It's been on bottles of stuff for years.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's as far as I can tell, it's a man-made thing everyone's known about for a while. It's just, you know, who reads the back of these bottles, right? But someone noticed somewhere, somehow, that this thing is on the back of
China used it as a way when they were losing in Taiwan and domestically to...
Well, I just wonder, when the coronavirus thing peters out, will Hong Kong still be there? Suddenly we're not hearing about these protesters anymore. That's quite convenient. I'm just wondering whether...
By the way, I have Pentagon reports that the SARS virus, same family as the coronavirus, is killed by nanosilver. We were saying, that was 13 years ago they were saying that. They don't want us saying it now. You just pointed out that disinfectant says it on it.
Right. And also the other thing is, even if it's all true, even if everything they're saying is true about it, it's just not... It doesn't really seem to me to be that incredibly serious. The death rate's really low. I mean, the death rate
isn't... But the hysteria is very real.
The hysteria is the story, and that's what will damage people. I mean, look, I got a text just the other day from my dental hygienist who says that she is about to be put off work for 2 months because the dentist she works for is closing the surgery. She doesn't have, she's not like an employee with health benefits, whatever. She's a self-employed
contractor. So it's a lockdown of civilization.
This is going to hurt people, really hurt people.
What Bible verse is it where the wicked flee when none pursues? Because first it was a 15% death rate in the Lanza study. Then they go, oh, it's actually 5. Now it's 2. Now it's 1. Yeah,
yeah. Now it's like 0.0. And you have to be 96 years old and have like 50 years of pre-existing lung conditions. And, oh, and you need HIV. And then maybe you'll die. Like, give me a break.
Well, what happened with HIV? Because remember, a lot of folks said early on it was all a hoax and the drugs were killing you.
They said that.
And then now it's like, oh, magic's fine. Everybody's fine.
They said that they found a slice of HIV in it, which suggested that it was indeed made in a lab.
And the delivery system.
Right, exactly. And that there was a slice of HIV in it, which is how it infected people and how it was, you know, it was so infectious. And indeed it was patented by an organization that was funded by US and UK foundations. Some of these foundations seem to be dedicated to the reduction of global population.
Bill Mulligan's like kind vampire of like, bats flying around.
No, I mean, it's like you try so hard not to indulge in what they always call, you know, the right, far right conspiracy theory, whatever, but you try to be like, no, come on. And then you look at it and you're just like,
well, that's my thing, is that tabletop exercise, 15, 65 million dead, 2 months before, and now they've got the vaccine, the patented virus, and now Bill and Melinda Gates are sending out the kits to create hysteria. It's like, this is the real Dr. Evil here.
Yeah, it's just another flu. And as I say, the real story here is, of course, who is leveraging it and for what, right?
Well, I want to say this. If I went in whole hog and said end of the world, obviously I could sell more product. People need turmeric and colloidal silver and you know, high-quality products anyways for their lives. And sure, it's probably bad for some. Sure, get geared up and ready. But a lot of folks I know are actually mad that I'm not like just, it's the end of the world, run for the hills, kill yourselves, it's all over.
That must be a new experience for you, people telling you that they're upset that you're being too... Well,
but don't worry, I've also got the media saying I'm hyping it that it's the end of the world.
I don't know, has that happened often
No,
before?
It's never happened before. Let me ask you this, Milo. Milo Yiannopoulos here in studio with his new book coming out. Why do you think they are hyping it so much right now then? I've never seen hype like this.
Well, it seems obvious to me that if people are hurting, if people are losing their jobs, if people are having to dig into their kids' college funds to make rent, all the rest of it, it's more likely to create a volatile electoral environment for the
presidential. That's it. It's all pointed at Trump.
For the presidential
and I was saying that 6 weeks ago. Democrats now go, hallelujah, this is going to get Trump. I mean, I'm going to play the clips. You've seen it, Milo.
Yeah.
How bad is it going to get?
Well, so they say that because they've just changed the testing conditions, you know, so before you had to say, oh, I had some travel to China, or I need confirmed contact with someone who had the virus. Now they're trying, now that more test kits available, to give one to pretty much anybody who wants one. So you're probably going to see an enormous explosion over the next week or two of new confirmed cases of coronavirus because more people are now eligible to have the tests. After that...
And that's going to create the real hysteria.
I think so. And then, I mean, we haven't seen anything yet. I mean, this is nothing. Sports games canceled. Who cares? But I've been able to get on a plane here and home and no problem. That means society is basically functioning okay.
When do you think lockdown hits? 3 weeks? 4 weeks?
A week or two, I guess. I mean, I went down downtown Austin last night. It was fine. Everybody was out drinking, partying, having a good time.
There's still less traffic, and I can go in restaurants I couldn't get in before.
Yeah. No, I got a reservation in New York. I wouldn't have been able to. I wouldn't have been able to get a few weeks ago, actually, a couple of days ago. But I mean, that's it so far. But you know, once the planes are grounded, then you have a country that is no longer functioning as a economic
and then you know
entity.
They're going to have a few cities shut down as a test case.
Right. I mean, there's
probably like Seattle.
The thing that worries me. Yeah, or the West Coast places. The thing that worries me is, New Jersey instituting this state law where spreading misinformation about the coronavirus is now an offense that can land you in jail.
That's totally arbitrary. That's
exactly. Exactly. I mean, what do the police know? Are you telling me what is the police's standard of evidence? What's their reference point? Is it CNN? Is it CBS? Like, where is it, the New York Times?
Well, you just told me something I didn't know. New Jersey?
It is now going to be an offense in New Jersey, punishable with jail terms for spreading misinformation about the coronavirus. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, so I'm speculating.
You know Snopes is going to be the source.
Well, I'm sitting here like speculating on your show about what I think is really going on. Am I going to go home and get arrested? Am I going to get thrown in jail?
So let's talk about that with Milo, because, folks, let's say the virus isn't a big deal. The hysteria and the response is in Georgia has an old prison camp. They're using a state park. They're now putting people in involuntarily. We'll be right back.
You're listening to a report with Milo Yiannopoulos.
You are listening to an Infowars.com.
That's what the women tune in for, isn't it?
If you are they do.
They like that.
Are the women tuning in for you right now?
No. It's that voice.
You know, it is strange. Women like that voice.
No, I didn't mean me. I meant you.
When I'm gibbering loud, but I talk real slow to women.
Oh, yeah.
Now, listen, honey. We're going to take care of this right now. They do like it.
Yeah. I can imagine.
It's very strange.
I can imagine. That's your date night voice, isn't it?
Let's just say it drives black women insane.
that's your Barry White voice.
They start trying to tear my clothes off. Ma'am, can you please get? Thank you very much for this. It's a true story. I don't know. Black women love me. I don't know where it is.
Lucky for you.
Look at this bald head, man. It was.
Under normal circumstances, this combination, I'm always wary of it because I think everybody looks kind of Iranian, you know, with the beard and bald head. You are pulling it off, though. I got to give it to you.
No, I'm going to throw it back, man. I don't like it. Everybody else, listen. Enough about me. Actually, women hate me.
I'll be honest. My favorite combination with you is the hair and beard. I think it's better with
both. We're probably going to bring the hair back.
Better with both.
But your hair looks fabulous.
Well,
now, let's talk about, I want to get into this whole virus thing, but let's talk about Roger Stone, because it's not just about Roger Stone, who's an important guy and a great guy, and gagged and shut down. You were at the trial. We covered it.
Yes.
Now the judge is trying to suppress that she rigged the jury. She's got a lawyer for the jurors to suppress what they did. You really knocked it out of the park. I watched it last night when you were on The War with Owen Schroyer. You've written about it at your great website. Tell folks how they can find that, censored.tv. We also have your own website, The Trial of Roger Stone. It's amazing.
Well, thanks. Yeah, so you can find the book. It's on Amazon, or you can go to stonetrial.com. What I've done is I've tried to explain how the story of Roger Stone's trial has larger ramifications for American jurisprudence, for freedom and whatnot. This is a very disturbing case of left-wing attack vectors, you know, cancel culture, and the deliberate misrepresentation of jokes as serious statements and all the kinds of various forms of cultural warfare that the left has been engaged in have now shifted. They've metastasized into legal strategies, too. So now you're
saying, it's not just lawfare. They went up. It's prison fare.
Indeed. But the what they've done to us, to Roger, to Gavin and people like that, trying to edge us out of the national conversation, is now appearing in courtrooms as well. I've been able to look at some sealed documents in this case, which are not available to the public, and the makeup of the jury, which I talk about at extensive length in the book, and this is the only example of anywhere you can find it. You can't see it on television. None of the other reporters will tell you anything about it, but the I tell you in great detail in this book about precisely who and exactly, what the political.
And by the way, I know you were there the whole time. That's why you were given they only leaked one of the jurors. We exposed the first one, the first foreman that worked for Obama and her husband worked for Mueller. You got another one, and now it came out. So I'm proud that you got this. I've been able to see that, but not authorized to put it out. The whole damn jury was Democrat operatives. And then why are they letting you put it in the book, but Roger and all them are scared to put it out?
Well, Roger can't speak about the case, which is why it's important that we make clear that he hasn't spoken to us. His lawyers won't speak to us.
But why doesn't he? This woman's a joke.
Well, she is... In the book, you'll learn a bit about her history and about where she comes from. She worked for a law firm that, you know, one of the partners was a guy who was previously a politician who got shellacked by Roger Stone in a political operation. There's all kinds of stuff in the past that you will learn about in the book, The Trial of Roger Stone.
So Judge Amy Berman Jackson has a giant hard-on for Roger Stone.
Let's just say she
has a dog penis.
Let's just stop that. Let's just say there's some history there. There's some history there. You'll find out about that in the book a little bit. And
that'll be a headline tomorrow.
Why would she have a dog penis? Why would she have a dog?
No. Because she's a bitch.
Sometimes it's a family show.
I apologize.
Sometimes it takes me a couple of days to acclimatize to Texas, and I apologize.
I love women.
I should have stitched that one together in my head myself. I'm sorry. Well,
she's a monster.
Your mileage may vary on what you think of her.
No, but here's the difference. You're supposed to grovel to her. I'm not going to kiss her ass.
I have to tread carefully because I don't want to get hauled in for contempt of court.
She's not a bitch. She's a purple-butted baboon.
I like that. Let's stick with that. She's a purple-butted baboon. So you can find out what some of the worst offenses of this purple-butted baboon you are in the
true baboonery. She's engaged in baboonery.
Anyway, On a serious note, obviously, we've had to piece this story together from documents and interviews and all the rest of it because Roger and his lawyers can't contact the outside world. They've been gagged, violation of their First Amendment. And not just that. He's also had other Bill of Rights, amendment rights curtailed as well. You could argue very persuasively that he's had his right to the illegal search and seizure has been violated. You could argue that his right to a fair trial has been violated. And indeed, I do argue that in this book. And the worry for all of us at the Roger Stone trial is
it sets the precedent for the super railroading.
Well,
because they admit this is a beta test for everybody.
Exactly.
Like they'd be platforming you, taking your PayPal, mine too.
Exactly.
When I see Democrats in the street, they go, "We're going to put you in prison, ever."
Yep.
I'm like, for what? Yep. You're going to prison.
Well, now we know. Now we know. The answer is selective prosecution, the deliberate and mendacious misrepresentation of jokes and tomfoolery as witness intimidation and violent threats.
She says when I call her a purple-butted baboon, that's intimidation. Well, she's a public figure doing horrible things. Of course she's a purple. That's not even a nice enough name.
Well, see, federal judges exist in this peculiar realm of untouchability.
Well, they wear the black cloak to protect the giant purple butt. Must be covered.
One of the things I talk about in the book is how, and you and I think, and maybe Gavin McGinnis are the three best examples of this, you can't speak satirically or in a comedic and lighthearted fashion.
No, because you're right. It's not her ass that looks like a baboon, but it's her face.
Well, I read the book. You can't speak in this sort of satirical or just plain disrespectful fashion about anybody on the left and have your remarks just treated as what they are, which is just satirical tomfoolery and a bit of fun. You can't do that and expect to get away with it in the way that, you know, someone like Bill Maher or Jon Stewart can be both a satirist and a serious political commentator.
Yeah, he can say whatever he wants, do whatever he wants, but we can't.
It's because
obviously she doesn't look like a baboon, but that's too pretty.
I have no comment to make on your repulsive and disgusting estimation.
Now you're against baboons? Are you saying baboons, one of God creatures?
Of this esteemed federal
judge.
When
I looked at a baboon's ass when I was a kid, I said, why did God make that?
Respected member of the federal judiciary.
Why does a baboon have
who does not deserve, for all of her years of diligent work on the bench,
why did God give a woman the face of a baboon?
This kind of ugly rhetoric. From Alex Jones.
Well, I piss on the King of England, the Queen of England, and this judge. I mean, who is she? She's dishonorable.
Well, that she is somebody, I do believe that she's dishonorable, and I think that I'm entitled to say so. And she is somebody who Obama tried very hard to have appointed, and now we know why.
Because he owns her.
Because the left at least does. And this is somebody who, you know, she's the one who threw out the case when two parents tried to bring a case against Hillary over Benghazi. She's the one who threw out a case the Catholic Church brought because they said that Obamacare mandates it requiring employers to include contraception.
She's a provisions. Special judge that covers up corruption and that gets that they assign all the cases to.
She's certainly somebody for whom federal prosecutors go judge shopping and try to lock in because they know they'll get the result.
And want. You're right. Calling her a baboon fair. Butt lets her off easy.
It kind of does because if you merely go for her physical appearance, and I'm not going to say that I don't do that at all in the book. There are moments where I am disobliging about how she looks, and you can look forward to those in chapter 3, 4, and 7. But it kind of does let her off the hook because there are serious questions about whether this judge should have the power she does.
I'm not into bestiality, but I do like Mr. Ed, and she looks like Mr. Ed.
She looks like she's been left out in the sun, like the face has just melted a little bit and then hardened again when she's been brought back in out of the
Milo, I'm
out
of the rays. No, look, no, actually, look at her.
Oh, you see what I mean? Slightly. She's. You know what she looks a little bit like? She looks a little bit like
Tyrant.
I've heard people say that.
Barry White.
Too much of anything.
What I want to know, I think this is a listener poll that we should
let's
conduct.
Let's get serious here.
Yeah, there we go. Alex or Barry.
I'm not usually trying to be smooth on my baby. Baby, you know I love you. Oh, and you know it's going to be good.
It's close.
So just let me take care of you right now. There you go. Lay back and let me take care of you.
I got to tell you, it's close. Ladies and gentlemen, listening at home, Barry White or Alex, you know you've always... Look, if the news stuff doesn't work out, you know you have that on lock.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, I am not bragging, but it is true, though. Ever since I was, like, in college...
I'm not bragging, but let me brag for a second.
I would like, hey, how you all doing, right, honey? When I was just being calm, women were like, what the hell's going on? Mm-hmm.
It gets in your bones. All right. Now we're going to have it.
Quit flattering me.
Now we're going to have it. Well, I'm flattering
you. I'm going to talk like this.
I'm flattering you because we're now going to have a serious segment.
I'm Mickey Mouse now.
A serious segment.
I want to talk about your book because I've already read part of it. Okay. And I just want to say that Milo Yiannopoulos' new book, The Trial of Roger Stone, is more than just The Trial of Roger Stone. It's The Trial of America's Basic Liberties and is a incredible tour de force exposing the modern 21st century witch hunt that is an enemy of every free man and woman across the world and is a must read.
Well, I very much appreciate you saying that, and that'll probably appear on the back cover in the next couple
it's
of weeks.
It's not as good as Tucker Carlson. You just said it very succinctly. Tell people what Carlson says.
Yeah, so Tucker Carlson, if you have seen him on Fox News, said, read this book. It's a warning. And what the book is basically warning against.
That's what I keep saying. People go, when they're attacking me, I'm like, I can handle it. I actually kind of like it. I'm a sick person. But when they're doing this to Roger or me or you, they're going to set the precedent for you. People asked me 2 years ago with Total Deplatforming. They go, how are you taking it? I said, you know, I'm the test case. They're coming for you next. Because they've already gotten you.
That's right.
And they go, oh, really? I'm like, do you understand? They're coming for you.
That's right. So in the book, I do talk about some of this. I talk about what this case is setting up for the future, the mechanics and precedents that it's establishing, and also about the various characters that are involved in this. If you've heard about the Mueller report, there are guys that were really sort of the power behind it. This guy, Andrew Weissman, and various others. And I talk about...
A bunch of just rat-like rubbing their hands
they
together,
are.
Bragging
they are.
How
right
they're
going
to get
right
him. I mean,
and then I also talk in the book
but
about...
But didn't they overestimate? They thought they would win. What are they going to do now? They've lost. Change the subject to coronavirus.
Well, maybe. So then I talk about... the thing that perhaps you haven't heard anywhere else, which is the Roger Stone that I know, which is the real guy that some of us have the pleasure of knowing privately, you know, the actual real man behind the headlines, which brings home to you, I think, the kind of appalling abuse of prosecutorial power that this is.
And describe the real Roger Stone briefly, because people don't, I mean, how would you just, I would say a really smart, kind of classical liberal feeling guy. Who also gets some political fights.
Here's the thing about Roger. He is one of the last genuine iconoclasts who's also able to operate in mainstream politics. And by that, what I mean is you can never predict his position on any particular issue. But when...
He's very nuanced.
When you find them all out, that he starts to make sense as a person. So people are surprised, for instance, to find out that Roger Stone has throughout his career been one of the most strident defenders of animal rights of anybody on the political right or
sexual
left.
Rights.
He's also a sexual libertine. He's also very libertarian in matters of
But he's
sex.
Actually that in action. That's why they fear him.
Well, he lives his principles. And one of the things I talk about in the book is the fact that although he may come across as a man who lives in artifice with the suits and the cocktails and all the rest of it, actually he is living the real Roger Stone. It's the people in the bland navy blue suits who are dressing,
they're not flamboyant.
Who are dressing in a particular kind of uniform to cover up something ugly and mendacious about themselves.
Exactly. They're he's admitting to you that he's...
They are the ones who are pretending.
He's admitting to you he's flamboyant.
Exactly. He's showing you who he is. And the thing about Roger is, you know, you can't predict his positions and you can't generalize about him either. And I think it's so important in an era of stultifying political conformity where everyone sounds the same and everyone's up to the same terrible, terrible stuff behind the scenes, that there's a guy who is what he says he is. And he
well,
is
let me tell you
a
Roger Stone story since you get to this. He wore this giant cowboy hat to go shooting, like the biggest one I ever saw. And he goes, I'm just having fun. I like to, like, whatever the archetype is, go with it. Mm-hmm. But as I got to know him better, he's like, I would talk about God and stuff at dinner. And
yes.
Now, God made me strong. He goes, no, I agree. It's God. It's a fight against evil. And right. tell him more about God. So what he says is he accepted Jesus Christ as his savior. That's not fake with Roger.
No, it isn't. And, you know, it's not a surprise either that almost all of the people who have been attacked the most vigorously by the left are God-fearing. People who are either Christians.
And it doesn't mean they're perfect, but they have a relationship with God.
But they're either Christians or they are at least hugely respectful of Christianity. It is not an
accident. Why is there such an attack on Christianity?
Because Christianity is the fundamental underpinning of Western civilization. It isn't freedom. It isn't democracy. It isn't capitalism. It's Christianity.
That's it. Yeah.
It is ultimately, for all of its faults, and it has gone terribly.
I got told by the New York Times like 3 years ago, we're going to destroy you in a private meeting. I had, you know, non-disclosure stuff. They're representative. We want you to stop defending Christianity.
Yeah.
We want you to accept Islam. We want you to come out against guns. And we want you to accept drag queen story time, which means pedophilia. And I just said, no.
It just brings out the queer basher in me. When I see drag queen story time, I just want to end them all.
Well, honestly. Since when do gay dudes want to run out and, like, have kids sit in their laps? I never heard of that.
Well, I thought, you know, I'm just so ashamed of my fellow homosexuals. Weren't we told all they wanted is just to get married and be like everybody else, and then within a year, they're putting sex offenders into kids' libraries? Anyway, let's get back to the subject.
No, I got to leave town, but you should come back and talk about that, because...
I would love to. I will come back. I'm heading out today, but I'll definitely come back and talk at length about drag queen story time, particularly who's funding it, because it's a very interesting story about how all this emerged. So I will do that on another occasion. The last thing I'd want to say about Roger and about the book is when I explore who he is and you find these unusual and unexpected things in his biography, for instance, that he has worked tirelessly, and not just by giving money, but with his time.
To decriminalize drugs.
Exactly.
To free blacks from prison. Yes. He's the one that got Trump. It wasn't Kanye West's wife. He helped. That was Roger 40 years ago.
Right. And also head injuries for NFL players, which is something that almost exclusively affects African-Americans. So there are all kinds of things about Roger that you probably don't know, that you may be surprised and pleased to find out about. And you will be appalled and angered by the injustice of this.
But I think they've really jumped the shark, screwed the pooch, whatever you want to call
it. I think they've overreached by allowing a foreperson who is a former, and let me tell you just very briefly about the jury. You've got this foreperson that everybody knows. The name is now public, Tamika Hart. She's in my book. Seth Cousins outed himself in the pages of the Washington Post, so we can give both of those names. Allowing a foreperson who had run as a Democrat.
Oh, yeah, they out themselves in the Washington Post, and but then I'm not supposed to say their name.
Right. And then they themselves have come out in public, but then there's something like, anyway, But even when you step beyond this foreperson who was a Democratic congressional candidate, let me tell you just very briefly some things about the rest of the jury in the abstract, in a way that won't get you in any legal trouble. 5 out of 12 were either lawyers or married to lawyers. 2 of the jury members had worked for Democratic senators. 1 of the jury members had worked for a Democratic congressman. All of them, when they listed the news sources that they regularly consumed, listed left-wing news sources.
No, I mean, listen, like I'm glad Times. They could get in the book. So, I couldn't get people out with him come on about this. I'm glad you've got the scoop. You've got to stay in town or come back on the show tomorrow or next week. Because now I've read only part of the book. I got to read the rest of it. The judge thought Trump would be removed by office from now. They went with a totally rigged jury. This is unprecedented in the rigging of juries.
let me be really honest with you. I have always been on the fence about some of the more outre, you know, what they call conspiracy theories or theories.
The
or
wild,
whatever.
It's all controlled stuff.
Yeah, yes. To sometimes, you know, the world government stuff makes me go.
No,
but,
when they said I was Bill Hicks, I started questioning.
Right. But I was like, but I got to tell you, I was sitting in that courtroom. I was sitting there in that courtroom in Washington, D.C., watching and unfold before me
the lynching.
Yes, but it's an absolutely undeniable, not just a miscarriage of justice. This is not just...
But a railroading.
We're used to biased judges, we're used to biased juries, we're used to all this stuff. But here's the important thing you have to grasp. There's no way that this jury could have been assembled by random computer selection. I cannot...
Oh, no,
it was a
heavy-hitter Democrat operative.
I do not believe it. And when you look at the jury's answers, and I got to tell you as well, I've seen the original questionnaires. One of those questionnaires, the handwriting changes halfway through. And it's not just like, oh, well, maybe, you know, maybe you got that wrong. The direction of the check marks in the box is flipped.
Sure. What
it's
this
a left
says
hand
is,
and a right hand and
if
left
they
hand.
Got away with this rigging, they were going to duplicate it like Henry Ford's assembly line and do it nationwide.
The undeniable implication of this is that the jurors were being coached through their questionnaire answers because somebody else at some point even handed the piece of paper over. And thinking that this would never, leave the orbit of the court. And in addition
and
to that...
And now the judge is fighting
in addition to
suppress that being released.
One of the things that's most remarkable about this case is how much of it's under seal, despite the fact that it is a case of extraordinary
public
import.
All right, we're out of time. Tell folks the name of the book again.
It's The Trial of Roger Stone. You can find it at Amazon. Just Google.
All right, Milo. Roger Stone. We appreciate you coming to town. I hope you're going back on the war room before you leave.
Thank you.
War room's coming up in just a few minutes. Infowars.com, newswars.com. We have the Immune Gargle Super Silver back in stock, 20% off. And we have the vaunted, almost 5 months out, Living Defense back in stock, and that funds our operation. We love you. We appreciate you. We love the crew. We don't like the judge. We love her. We love baboons.